so that you can be there. And we'll be hearing, or we'll be listening, or you'll be listening to me tomorrow, I sure hope. And stay tuned right now for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The slimmer your waist, the better. It is new research.
What you want is, within reason, to have the smallest and flattest waist you can relative to your hips.
Dr. James DeLimas at Texas Southwestern Medical School.
People who have large abdomens relative to their hip size were at particularly increased risk for developing early buildup of plaque in the walls of the heart arteries as well as the walls of the aorta.
There is no magic number for your waistline. Just reintroduce yourself to sit-ups and crunches, period. President Bush's close friend and advisor, Karl Rove, is resigning at the end of the month. Mr. Bush says it's come after a year of talking about it.
President Bush praises his top advisor as a dear friend.
Karl Rove is moving on down the road.
But Democrats are trying to make it a bumpy road out of Washington for Karl Rove. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy says Rove has acted as if he were above the law. Leahy notes Rove remains under subpoena in the investigation into the firings of U.S. attorneys.
The Judiciary Committee is still going to want to see his email, still going to want his testimony.
With the administration claiming executive privilege, Leahy says Rove and the White House are under a cloud. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
The passenger train was blown off the tracks near Novgorod in Russia. At least 27 people were injured. No word what caused the explosion. A spacewalk and a nickel-sized gouge on their minds at NASA today.
Astronauts Rick Mastracchio and Dave Williams were right on target, completing their main task for the day, installing a new gyroscope for the International Space Station.
Hey, you guys rock. Stop.
Way to go, boys.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
Now they're waiting to learn whether one of their remaining spacewalks will include a heat shield repair job. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
2 years since Hurricane Katrina, a jury is being selected to hear the trial of Sal and Mabel Mangano, who owned St. Rita's Nursing Home in St. Bernard Parish. That's the home where 35 residents were allegedly left to the incoming floodwaters. The couple's accused of negligent homicide 35 times. Expect a 3 to 6 week trial. Storms in St. Louis brought down the power lines. That was this morning. 3 people dead of the heat in Missouri, 3 more in Tennessee. Much of the Midwest and the Southeast is baking today and will be for most of the week. In St. Louis, people have had it.
These outages keep occurring so frequently.
I got burned once. I get burned again. I've got a generator.
This is my 5th power outage. I have just had it.
Hurricane Flossie, now Category 3, should be down to 70 miles an hour when it reaches Hawaii late tomorrow or Wednesday. A tropical depression near the Cape Verde Islands will be Tropical Storm Dean soon, the way things are going. Still a long way from threatening the U.S. in any way. On Wall Street, the Dow lost about 3 points today, NASDAQ off more than 2.5. Oil, $71.62 a barrel, down 15 cents. This is CBS News.
Right now, Office Depot has unbelievable deals for back to school. Office Depot has everything from binders to backpacks, calculators to crayons, all in one place. And with the Office Depot low price guarantee, you never have to worry about paying too much. Office Depot is the place to shop for everything on that back to school supplies list. So don't be late for school. Come in today to Office Depot. Taking care of business and back to school. See store for details.
Can you guess where is Michelin Man? He's heading off-road to the daunting River of No Return. Fortunately, Michelin Man will return, because he has Michelin's new LTX AT2 tires, with class-leading off-road traction, plus exceptional on-road comfort for his trip home. For more on Michelin's new LTX AT2 tires, and to see where the River of No Return is, visit michelinman.com/guesswhere.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Claim based on internal Michelin off-road evaluation versus competition. See website for details.
Taking vitamins is good, but eating the right foods works better.
Mostly in their 50s and 60s, more than 8,000 women were monitored for 9 years, and those who popped vitamin pills did not have a lower incidence of heart attacks and strokes, except for one combination, 500 milligrams of vitamin C every day, and every other day, 600 units of vitamin E. Those women had fewer strokes. But this study in the Archives of Internal Medicine says a better idea is to eat foods such as salads that have a combination of good nutrients. nutrients. Dan Revive, CBS News.
It's more of the same aching, the same unknowing in Huntington, Utah. Mine owner, Robert Murray.
I'm very disappointed to be telling you on the eighth day that we have not found six alive miners.
No dead ones either, so a third vertical hole is still being drilled to drop another camera into the coal mine. And the digging to try to reach where the miners might be continues. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Reason number 11 to switch to Geico. Man does not travel by four wheels alone. If you love scooters, you need to call Geico. Because now Geico offers insurance on all the stuff that moves you, including scooters. Great rates, great coverage, and personal service 24/7. Call anytime, 1-800-44-CYCLE, or visit geico.com.
Introducing the new Subway Scrabble game, where you have a 1 in 2 chance to instantly win delicious food. Or collect letters and play online for a chance to win one of 10 $100,000 cash grand prizes. That's 10 $100,000 cash prizes, trips to beaches, family resorts, and much more. New Subway Scrabble. Play often, win often. Stop by today.
No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. legal residents 13 years or older. See store for official rules. Void where prohibited. Subway is a registered trademark of Doctors Associates, Inc. Scrabble is a trademark of Hasbro in the U.S. and Canada.
Let's see what happens when I click on this.
Peter B. Collins!
Oh, yeah. I remember. It's coming back to me.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
He's back after a vacation spanning 2 months. It wasn't 2 months long, but I was gone for part of July and a good part of August. And hey, I'm back in the saddle again. I'm delighted that you're in touch. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. That makes me your humble host, Peter B. First and foremost, I want to thank Christine Kraft and Brad Friedman, who covered this program while I was away, gallivanting across Italy. Panhandling because the dollar sucks. Yeah, George W. Bush let all the air out of the greenback.
Ready, steady, go!
And I also want to thank my intrepid producer, Katrina Rill, and our assistant producer, Brian Urban, for holding down the fort while I was gone. And the fort has suffered a little bit of a security problem. I am so incredibly flummoxed that the Democrats permitted legalization of NSA spying while I was gone. And that it was flashed through in just a couple of days, almost faster than the blink of an eye. We'll take on that outrage a little bit later in the program today. In our second hour, we'll be joined by David McMichael, a former analyst at the Central Intelligence Agency and a member of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. And we're going to talk about how the Democrats got snookered into, well, the fear-mongering efforts of the Bush administration. I mean, after all, I took a vacation. The Iraqi parliament took a long vacation the whole month of August. The U.S. Congress is on vacation. But Mitch McConnell says that Al-Qaeda never goes on vacation. And therefore, we had to ram through more bad legislation impinging on our constitutional rights in the name of security. And let me tell you, friends, having traveled to and from Europe, and let me count 1, 2, 3, 4, I was at 4 major airports, San Francisco, Rome, Paris, Amsterdam. And I saw security breaches in every location where if I had wanted to, if I had nefarious intentions, I could have done an evil deed, brought down an airliner or hijacked one. And yet we pretend that by lining people up and forcing them to dump their water bottles before they get on a plane, that somehow we're safer. And we ignore, of course, the overarching irritants that cause people to want to hijack our planes and hurt our people. We gloss right over that and pretend that the steps that we've taken, including abrogating the constitutional rights of American citizens, not to mention the inherent rights that other people have under our Constitution. And it's one thing for Bush to propose it. It's another for the Republicans to promote it. But it is unacceptable for the Democrats to allow it to pass. So we'll talk about that a little bit later in the program. But topic A today is that Karl Rove has resigned. And we're going to get some views on that. Eric Bollert from Media Matters will join us in a few minutes. Rick Perlstein will be with us later this hour. He publishes at OurFuture.org, and he has an interesting theory that Karl Rove took an exit from the White House once used by Chuck Colson. Yeah, it goes back to Watergate. We'll talk about that. And also Joe Mealy, co-director and producer of the documentary film about Karl Rove called Bush's Brain. He'll be with us next hour. And we have reserved our third and final hour for your phone calls to catch up, check in, fill me in on what I missed, and otherwise just salute us and, you know, get back in touch here at the Peter B. Collins Show. As always, you can call in now, later, anytime during the program, whenever the urge hits you. We pay for the call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. The number again, 888-573-8372. You can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And upon my return, I got back late last Thursday, so I had Friday and the weekend to try to catch up on my jet lag sleep and fix an array of technical problems. The peterbcollins.com website was down. I don't know for how long. I thank the listeners who emailed to alert me to that. And it was a simple issue that the hosting company didn't have my new credit card number, and when they didn't, when they weren't permitted to post the charge, they cut off the service. Getting it reinstated took 4 days and five phone calls, but it is back up and running now, and we will feed today's program into the archives and get that system back up and running for our podcast listeners and others who listen online. So that's just a quick sketch of what's going on here. And I wasn't able to send each and every one of you an email or a postcard from Italy. So allow me to take a couple of minutes here, and I'll just share some of my travel adventures. This whole episode was provoked by my mother, who turns 84 later this year. And when Mom invites you to come to Italy and says, you know, I've rented a castle, will you join me? That's a tough invitation to turn down. Plus, it's a chance to connect up with my far-flung family and various nieces and nephews who are growing up too fast and too far away, some in England, some in Japan, some in Chicago. And so we had a terrific time. For the kids, the big experience was the new Harry Potter book. And I didn't get a chance to read it because there were four copies of the book where we were staying. But they never left the hands of the Utes who had them, and they weren't willing to share with the geezers. So we had a great time catching up with family, exploring Umbria. If you're not familiar with Italy, you got Rome here, you got Florence here, and Venice up there. And roughly, Umbria is the state between Rome and Florence, between Lazio and Tuscany, or Toscana, as they say in Italian. And it's a beautiful area of hillside castles and hillside towns. The castle we stayed in was originally built in the 1300s, and it has changed hands, as the local villages and towns have, many times over the centuries. And it appears that the memories of the residents are rich and very fresh, even on events that occurred 500 years ago. And so it's just a fascinating history of how these hill towns went back and forth from control by Rome, controlled by the Papal States, the Pope and the Vatican, and various interlopers from the Greeks early on to the Spanish later, the Holy Roman Emperor, and also the Turks, the Ottoman Empire. They made forays into what we now know as Italy. And Italy only became unified as a state about 120 years ago. And unified is is a term you have to use carefully when you're talking about Italian politics. So it was a terrific time, very hot there in Italy in the summertime, not a surprise, but hard to take for a guy who loves the San Francisco fog like me. And the only real complaints I have are the U.S.-based airlines. We used our Delta miles, and it's almost an illusion, friends. If you're sitting on a couple of 100,000 miles from some airline, just try to use them. I dare you. Because this summer, the system is so jam-packed that they were not making very many seats available for mileage conversion. And so we ended up without a return complete itinerary. And we had to call the airline almost every day while we were in Italy trying to come up with a routing. And finally, 2 days before we left, they came up with something satisfactory. We flew from Rome, where I saw Spike Lee at the airport, by the way, to Paris, to Amsterdam, spent the night, and then flew a nice nonstop on KLM from Amsterdam to San Francisco. And my story pales in comparison to some folks we met near the airport in Rome on Tuesday night last week. Their flight had been canceled, but only after they sat in the airport and on the airplane for a total of 5.5 hours. And then when they were escorted off the plane, it was kind of good luck. The airline made no effort to rebook all those people. They were just kind of on their own. And so I caution you, if you haven't taken your summer vacation, to be really prepared for nightmares in the skies, or more accurately, on the ground before you get to fly, because they're in great disarray. And, of course, all the cutbacks in bankruptcy over the last few years, they just don't have enough people to make it all work properly. The other complaint I have is Bush's dollar. To buy a bottle of water, a half liter a bottle at many locations in Italy, the equivalent was $4.75 in American money. The euro is so strong, the dollar is so weak, that every purchase you made was really painful. And ultimately, we just had to kind of push it out of our minds and say, this is going to be an expensive vacation. And that's why the good Lord invented plastic. So it was a great time, and all my family members showed up, save one who was not well enough to travel. And I want to thank everybody who put up with my extended absence. And I make this pledge here that I'm going to work more or less nonstop till the end of the year. Maybe we'll take a day off for Labor Day or Thanksgiving, that sort of thing. But if you haven't had enough of Peter B. Collins, I'm going to try to fix that over the next few months. And if you miss me, drop me an email. Let me know what occurred in my absence. And any other comments that you want to bring along, you could share with us in our free speech zone coming up about an hour and a half away. 888-5 Peter B. is our toll-free number. And again, my deep apologies if my absence was too extended for your taste.
Excuse me.
We'll take a break if I know how to push the right buttons at the right time. And then Eric Bollert will join us from Media Matters for America. We're going to talk about the media's treatment of Karl Rove as Turd Blossom rolls home to Texas. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad to be back. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Tired of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. We offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota, and our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your humble host has returned. I'm delighted to be back in the saddle here. Lines open if you'd like to talk with us at 888-5-PETER-B. In a moment, Eric Bullard joins us from Media Matters for America. And have you heard the news today? Karl Rove has resigned his post as Bush's brain in order to spend more time avoiding his family back in the great, great state of Texas. And Bush was almost tearful as he sent his friend Turd Blossom off today from the lawn of the White House. Go ahead, W, we're ready for you. Oh, the clip's not playing. A little breakdown here in our technical. Click to play. Oh, I'm clicking. Come on, Bush, talk to me. Well, it'll probably roll at some point when we're not ready, but we'll get the clip on for you a little bit later. Eric Bullard joins us from Media Matters for America. Eric, how are you today?
Hey, Peter, good.
Nice to talk with you again.
Yeah.
And I ran away. I left the country for 3 weeks. And in my absence, quite a few things happen. We're going to talk a little bit later about the Democrats' cave-in on the NSA bill and the way the Republicans feared everybody up and maneuvered that into place. But I wanted to get your thoughts about Karl Rove leaving the White House, and in particular, the way the media treated this man with such deference and often puffery, really eased his ability to sidestep controversies, including the Plame Wilson case, And, you know, he's leaving the White House. They don't make any mentions of the subpoenas that are chasing him.
That's right.
But clearly this is not just a change of the guard and time to go back to Texas.
No, he's going to spend more time with his family, apparently.
Yeah.
Which I had never heard of before. Well, the Karl Rove's relationship with the press is interesting. Since he's Bush's brain, it's not surprising that his relationship is almost a mirror of the Bush relationship with the press over the last, not even 6 or 7 years, but going back to their existence in Texas running when Bush was governor. They rolled over for both of them. In particular, the press just had a huge crush on Karl Rove. Just loved the way he played hardball. They were literally convinced that Karl Rove had cracked the code of electoral politics, and that Karl Rove could not be beat, that Karl Rove was just running circles around Democrats. Karl Rove was so much smarter than the Democrats. They just really admired the way he went about doing business. And you know, he's leaving the White House now. The Republican Party is as close to shambles as it's been since the Nixon years. President Bush is historically unpopular. Karl's goal is to create this permanent majority of Republicans, and they're clearly going to be on the defensive, and their goal in 2008 is not to lose more seats. So Karl Rove's time at the White House has been a failure, and I think without 9/11 and without the war in Iraq, it would have been an even shorter failure, because they wouldn't have won re-election. So it's hard to understand why the press was so enamored by him, but they certainly were for probably six of his 7 years in office.
Well, and Eric, putting aside some of my own bias and my desire, as Joe Wilson expressed it, to see Karl Rove frogmat marched out of the White House in
right.
handcuffs, I really believe that he was at the center of the exposure of Valerie Plame's identity.
Right.
He was part of the White House Iraq group. He was a key counselor there in the selling of the war, and then the kind of damage control that they had to do when there were no WMD,
yeah.
when they hadn't captured Saddam. And, they were really working to propagandize these issues. And the press corps really just gave him a pass and refused to believe what is so obvious, even from the limited trial testimony at the Libby case.
Yeah, and his real point, he was the real point person in terms of the whole war propaganda mechanism, in claiming that Democrats were soft on terror, soft on national security, essentially sided with al-Qaeda. He had that famous quote, I'm going to paraphrase. After 9/11, Republicans wanted to attack the enemy, and Democrats wanted to issue subpoenas.
Right.
And really, the press was completely bought this all the way up to the 2006 election. If you go back to the spring of 2006, Rove and others in the White House were arguing that the debate about troop withdrawals from Iraq was a disaster for the Democrats. It was Rove that was behind this spin that Ned Lamont was going to be a disaster for the Democrats. If Democrats embraced an anti-war rhetoric, the Republicans were going to wipe the floor.
Let's pause there. We got to take a break,
yep.
Eric. We'll continue in just a moment. Eric Bullard is with us from Media Matters for America. We'll go to the phones in the next segment. If you want to react to Karl Rove's resignation and the way the media has treated him, give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist Church where we can really live our values. Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters at Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Salt means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And so I thank my friend. I'll be on the road behind you here in a little bit. I thank Darby and I thank Carl for making a tremendous sacrifice. And wish you all the very best.
Today I submitted my resignation as Deputy Chief of Staff and Senior Advisor effective the end of the month.
Yeah, who gets your security clearance, Carl? Sorry, I had to.
Mr. President, I'm grateful for the opportunity you gave me to serve our nation and you. I'm grateful for being able to work with the extraordinary men and women that you've drawn into this administration. And I'm grateful to have been a witness to history. it has been the joy and the honor of a lifetime.
Oh, that wobbly voice kicks in.
I will join those whom you meet in your travels. The ordinary Americans who tell you they are praying for you. Like them, I will ask for God's continued gifts of strength and wisdom for you and your work, your vital work for our country and the world, and for the Almighty's continued blessing of our great country. Thank you again.
Hey, thank you, Carl. Thanks for the lies. Thanks for the propaganda. Thanks for the spin. Thanks for the stolen election. 2004. My gratitude knows no bounds for Carl Rove. It's all gone crazy. And now he's going back to the Lone Star State to spend more time avoiding his family. And maybe, of course, he'll run campaigns for more of those right-wing judges they elect to the Texas Supreme Court, like, oh, that model Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. Coming up in the next segment, about 15 minutes from now, Rick Perlstein will join us, and he's written a piece that's available online today suggesting that Karl Rove has taken the Chuck Colson exit from the White House. That takes us back to Watergate. We'll explain that coming up a few minutes away. We continue now with Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America. And, Eric, what else would you like to add about the Rove tenure and, in particular, the way the media reported on him? Do I have you there, Eric? Okay. Some of the buttons here are in different positions. Eric, how about now? Did I lose you? Katrina, can you call Eric back? I think I did actually manage to lose him. Dave's on the line from Eureka. Hello, Dave.
Oh, Peter B., so very, very good to have you back, sir.
Nice to hear from you, my friend. How's it going?
Oh, it's been dreadful. We've had to, you know, missing your insights, your wisdom, your humor, your pursuit of truth. It's a hard couple of weeks there, friend.
But well, my apologies for a lengthy vacation, but as I explained, mom is getting older, and I was not going to refuse her invitation.
We don't begrudge you it. It's just that, you know, we were missing something that we count on a lot.
I understand.
Anyway,
so what's your take on the Rove departure? Is he getting out of the way of subpoenas and other legal activities that are headed his way?
Well, I'm on a number of blogs and chats, and they're all speculating what, because, you know, everybody knows that whatever the White House puts forth is not likely going to be anything close to reality. And so the general speculation for most is that he will join up with Giuliani and show him how an election is really won by Republicans involving voting machines and trick ballots and whatever. But
well, and U.S. attorneys who go out there looking for phony voter fraud cases allegedly perpetrated by Democrats as a way of creating a smokescreen for the overarching electioneering shenanigans of the Republicans.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But the general feeling is it's not that he wants to return to visit with his family. Maybe, what's his name, Ray Gannon exited his post at the same time, and maybe they'll reconnoitre somewhere. But
oh, Jeff Gannon?
Jeff Gannon.
Oh, he's playing in a softball league somewhere.
Oh.
Slow pitch. All right, Dave, thanks. We'll talk to you again later.
So good to have you back, Peter.
All right, thank you, Dave. Eric Bollert's back with us. Sorry, I plugged you in on a different box, and then it didn't work, Eric.
Fair enough.
So I posed a question if you had any other thoughts about Rove and the way our electronic media in particular treated him with such reverence.
Well, again, I mean, that's a continuation. They've had this crush on Rove for a long time. You know, the relationship sort of came to a rocky conclusion this year. I mean, if Rove's client, the president, at 29% approval rating, I mean, even Chris Matthews has to admit that something didn't work and that it was a failure.
Well, but
I mean, if you went back to, you know, where Jimmy Carter and his top aide left, you certainly wouldn't have these sort of glowing tributes in the press to someone who steered a president right into the ground. But that's what we're seeing with Rove.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what Chris Matthews has to say tonight. I bet it'll be 90% positive. And, you know, he will talk about Rove's performance you know, in pursuit of political goals, as opposed to any evaluation based on the good of the nation.
Right, and Karl Rove is light, you know, is liked on a personal basis within the Beltway, and that's sort of how those shows operate.
Yeah. Eric Bollert with us from Media Matters for America. Another item that occurred while I was away, Eric, and you posted a column at Media Matters last week about it, is that the Bancroft family was persuaded to provide sufficient votes to transfer ownership of Dow Jones, including the Wall Street Journal, to Rupert Murdoch. And as you point out, they put together a toothless committee,
right,
which is intended to prevent Murdoch from being Murdoch and putting topless girls on page 3 of the Journal.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but it doesn't look good for the Journal. As you mentioned, the Bancroft family, large portions of that family, was reluctant to sell, and I think to ease their conscience, they came up with this idea: we'll create sort of this blue ribbon panel. Of heavyweight independents who don't have any ties to Murdoch, and if he tries to mess around with the paper, they'll stare Murdoch down. And well, it turns out there are 5 members on the committee. One of them, again, the committee members are supposed to have no relations with Murdoch or his News Corp. One of the members runs an education foundation, which has received $2.5 million from News Corp, which brings into question his independence. And the second fact was that committee is being chaired by a right-wing Detroit News columnist who's, you know, just sort of a GOP errand boy.
That's Tom Bray?
Tom Bray.
Uh-huh.
You know, anti-environmental, anti-union, anti-affirmative action. He actually twice in 2003 declared that we had won the war in Iraq. That's how excited he was about the war.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, he's rewarded with this position on this committee to protect the Wall Street Journal's integrity. And as I wrote in my column, you know, with Sean Hannity not available for the job. And by the way, all the members who meet 4 times a year will get paid $100,000 to be on this committee, which to me brings with it a certain whiff of a payoff.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's a very inauspicious beginning to the Murdoch era at the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, you're not going to be really critical of a move by Murdoch if he's paying you $100,000 a year.
No, I can't imagine.
To be his conscience.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, to be fair to the Bancroft family, didn't Murdoch maneuver them into a lose-lose situation? Because he offered such a premium over the current value of the shares that if the family, with their enhanced voting power, had turned down this deal, wouldn't they have been subject to lawsuits from Bill LaRock and these others who go after corporations,
right,
for shakedowns?
Well, I think they had a little more comfort zone just because of the sort of the airtight corporate structure that they had created, which had allowed them for years not to entertain purchase offers. And being able to not entertain them with that, even without the reservations that you expressed, not opening themselves to lawsuits. So I think they had a little more wiggle room than most. But as you mentioned, the offer was almost twice as much what the paper was worth. And I do think they realized that economically, in this age of consolidation, if they remained independent, they certainly would never get an offer this good. And of course, the irony here is that the Wall Street Journal, which chronicles corporate America, Dow Jones has been run very poorly for the last decade, and the company was not in very good shape in terms of its media alliances. It was independent. It didn't have the resources it needed. So the irony is, you know, the Journal wasn't run very well as a business. But they realized that if they said no to Murdoch, there was no one else coming down the pipe with an offer like that. And they feared they wouldn't be able to survive or thrive in the current form that they were in terms of a corporate ownership.
Now, Eric,
really didn't have a choice, even though an awful lot of them voted yes with their nose plugged.
Yeah. Now, many of these media deals are built around a phony notion of synergy.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you think, since Murdoch has been pouring cash into the Weekly Standard for so long, that he might move Bill Kristol and some of those other nuts over to the Journal and save some money.
Well, the Journal, the irony is, already has their nuts. I mean, they're on the editorial page, probably even further to the right of the Weekly Standard.
Right.
So in one sense, Murdoch is buying an editorial piece that is already in heated agreement with the Weekly Standard. I think Journal's more interested in the news staff, and he's really interested in taking on the New York Times directly, wants to become the preeminent national newspaper in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he wants to marry the Journal with Fox News to really create this conservative version of the news and conservative versions of the facts.
Yeah.
So there can be these two parallel conversations going on, you know, the liberal and conservative, and I think that's what he wants to do.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. Peter V. joins us from Salinas. Hey, Peter, you're on the air.
Peter, welcome back.
Well, thank you. It's great to hear from you.
I would tell you were greatly missed, except you had great fill-ins. His Bradness and Christine, I think both did a great job.
I'm glad to hear that.
And again, I think they were shooting for your standards, and I think they did a good job. I've got a couple quick comments, if I might, Peter.
Please, go ahead.
Well, you as a sailor should recognize what Karl Rove has done. He's the first rat to jump the ship as it's going down. And Peter, I would appreciate it if when you play that sound cut of the president saying he's going to be joining Karl on the road,
right.
On the road,
yeah.
Please play that bumper song, We're on the Road to Hell.
Okay. I'll try to line that up for you later today.
And my last point, Peter, is Murdoch's specialty is putting lipstick on pigs. So what better fit for him than Wall Street?
Very nice. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Eric, thanks for joining us today. Always great to talk with you.
My pleasure.
All right. Take care. Eric Bullard from Media Matters for America. Visit their great website at mediamatters.org. We'll take a break and return with Rick Perlstein. He asks the question, did Karl Rove take the same exit door from the White House that Chuck Colson used about 30 years ago? We'll explain coming up. I'm Peter B. Collins. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows.
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, uh-huh. And I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show, only on KRXA 540. Down in Monterey.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
So, Turd Blossoms, going back to the Lone Star State, spend more time with his family. They have indictments down there, too, don't they? I mean, Harriet Myers knows that.
Sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces sometimes.
Coming up right after the top of the hour, co-director and producer of the documentary film Bush's Brain, Joe Mealy will join us to talk about Karl Rove's departure from the Bush White House. Rick Perlstein's back. He's at our great organization called americasfuture.org, and we talked with him at the Take Back America conference just a couple of months ago in Washington. Hi, Rick.
Peter, I cannot top the guys who did Bush's Brain. Come on.
Well, but I was fascinated by the piece that you put up today and that Mark Crispin Miller sent into my email box. And the way I phrased it in saying that you were coming up is that you're suggesting that Karl Rove used the exit from the White House marked Chuck Colson's exit.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, let's not forget that this is a guy who came up in politics straight through the Nixon-Watergate-era White House.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, should I take the story from the beginning? It's 1970. You know, he's this hotshot college Republicans operator. They send him to Illinois to help defeat the Democratic candidate for state treasurer, I think it was. He decided to assume a fake name, joined the opponent's campaign, stole the stationery, created invitations, fake invitations, to the opening of the campaign headquarters reading, free beer, free food, girls, and a good time for nothing, to communes, rock concerts, and hobo villages. And lo and behold, the opening of the Democratic campaign was overrun by smelly drunks and hippies.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans said, wow, this is the guy to look out for.
Yeah.
We got to give this guy a glide path to the top. And, you know, so before long, he was working in the reelection campaign in 1972, and he was working under this guy, Ken Reitz, whose job it was to infiltrate the Muskie campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So we know where he came up.
Just a quick aside, didn't Nixon have a dirty tricks guy named Dick Tuck?
You're getting the history a little mixed up. Dick Tuck was Kennedy's guy.
Oh, okay.
And it kind of, just to do the byway a little bit.
Yeah.
Dick Tuck was, basically, he did practical jokes.
Right.
And whenever Nixon would do something evil or illegal, or, you know, steal opposing campaign's documents or bug them or whatever, he'd say, well, look what Dick Tuck did to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but what Dick Tuck did was practical jokes.
Okay.
It was nothing like what Nixon did.
Well, then, didn't Nixon have a dirty tricks operator, a Murray somebody?
Murray Chotiner. It's all coming back to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, these guys wrote the book. But the reason I bring up Chuck Colson, and, you know, he did a heck of a lot of dirty tricks for Nixon, too, was after the 1972 election, basically Nixon and Colson got together and said, you know, you'd be worth a lot more to me as a dirty trickster outside the White House than inside the White House. So what they were going to do is they were going to set up Colson with his own law firm.
Mm-hmm.
And what Colson was going to do was he was going to use it as a front group, basically working for the White House, and they wouldn't be able to trace it to the White House. They were going to do stuff like set up their own polling company, where they were going to circulate doctored polls. You know, they were going to set up their own think tank to set up, you know, kind of doctored research. Lo and behold, it never came to pass, because by the time they got ready to do this, Chuck Colson had another full-time job, which was staying out of jail.
Well, and then he had a full-time job being incarcerated.
Exactly.
So
this was the year after that. But basically what I'm proposing is, you know, Rove has become a political liability to Bush. You know, he's an albatross. Everyone knows that he's the guy who's responsible for, you know, not only among liberals who hate him for, you know, being responsible for, you know, taking out Kerry and, you know, stealing Florida and all this stuff, but conservatives hate him for basically, you know, destroying the Bush presidency. I mean, let's not forget, this guy's got a record as one of the worst political strategists ever. I mean, he took a president who had a 90% approval rating and shot him down to 25%.
Yeah.
So, you know, basically, I think that Karl Rove has always been more useful in the shadows. And I have no evidence of this. Of course, one of the reasons he's leaving is almost certainly to save Bush embarrassment if Rove gets indicted for any number of crimes.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing he certainly could be doing outside the White House is, you know, basically setting up the kinds of things he used to do in the White House with a bit more plausible deniability.
Yeah. Now, Rick Perlstein, let me get your reaction to this, because my thinking for many weeks now regarding Gonzalez and the U.S. attorney scandal is that they've kept Gonzalez in place because he protects Roe. And I believe Rove was deeply involved. They had these Wednesday meetings where they talked about judges and U.S. attorneys. And because of the pressure that's been building from Leahy and even Arlen Specter to get Rove to testify, they are going to avoid the showdown over executive privilege by having Rove exit the White House at this time. But does that then make Gonzalez expendable?
You know, I don't think they can do without Gonzalez. I mean, Gonzalez is the finger in the dike.
The torture boy, the wiretap boy, the...
But, I mean, he knows where the bodies are buried, right? I mean, think of how the Sopranos do it, you know? And I think that I cannot possibly imagine that they can even throw Gonzalez to the wolves if they want to. You know, they can't throw any of these guys to the wolves. Remember how it happened in Watergate. Now, they kept on trying to... you know, scapegoat people higher up the food chain. And basically they had to do that because the evidence was more and more credible that it was, you know, really the Oval Office that was directing all this. But, you know, kind of the higher the guy they threw to the wolves, the more he knew. And the more he knew, the more he was willing to tell. And eventually, you know, Jeb Magruder was the first guy to break, and he started tying it to the White House. Then John Dean,
right,
and you remember that famous testimony in which he gave this incredibly dramatic, basically 45-minute speech before the Senate Watergate Committee in which he said, you know, this was all done in the White House. This is all done in the Oval Office.
Well, and then we had Butterfield, who acknowledged the existence of the taping system, and that, of course, really led things to unravel more quickly. But coming back to Rove and Gonzalez and the current problems that the White House is confronting, it strikes me that taking Rove out doesn't really take the pressure off Gonzalez sufficiently, and that, you know, if indeed, when you consider what they spent in terms of political capital to keep Rove over the last 3 years through the Libby investigation, the Libby conviction, the Libby pardon, you know, for him to become expendable at this point is a bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah, and that's why I think, you know, they're not expending him. You know, they're just you know, changing his address.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that they just realize that. Well, I mean, think of the stratagems they had. You know, everyone kind of worked for a while. You remember the sending all their emails to their Republican National Committee accounts,
right,
their White House accounts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the jig was up with that one. You know, and then they had their executive privilege, and the jig is coming up with that one. And you know, this is just you know, their latest strategy. You know, I think that he's going to be doing the same stuff. He's just, I think they've just kind of doped out some angle that'll make him harder to catch because you know, his documents will no longer be public documents, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, well, I guess it remains to be seen, because Harriet Myers is now in a similar position. She's not an employee, but she did observe the president's edict not to show up under subpoena.
Yeah, I don't think this changes the calculation with regards to executive privilege. They can just say, you know, these are privileged conversations from when I was working for the president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 30 seconds. Anything you want to add, Rick Perlstein?
There's a paradox involved with Rove being gone. He might have been the only guy in the White House with this theory that the Republicans needed to show strong among leader Latino voters, keeping the White House from going full bore scapegoating Mexican immigrants. And that's really scary and ugly.
Yeah. Very interesting. Thanks for your time today.
Pleasure, Peter. Anytime.
Rick Perlstein. Read him at ourfuture.org. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Joe Mealy, he's the co-director of Bush's Brain, joins us next for more on Rove.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia Natural Foods Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, and Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Tom Hartman.
Time Magazine, quoting Arlen Specter, is saying there is a jail in the Capitol complex. What that is referencing is this concept of inherent contempt.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
It's where the House of Representatives, or the Senate for that matter, can simply say, okay, we're an independent branch of government. You are in contempt, and so we are arresting you, and we are putting you in our jail in the basement of the Capitol building.
Tom Hartman, weekday evenings on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Carl Rove is leaving the president's side.
Today I submitted my resignation as Deputy Chief of Staff and Senior Advisor effective the end of the month.
New medical findings.
Belly fat. Every extra inch adds danger of a heart attack.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush calls him boy genius. Administration critics call him Bush's brain. Political strategist Karl Rove, a Bush loyalist since Texas days, is leaving the White House. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer begins our coverage.
President Bush praises his top advisor as a dear friend.
Karl Rove is moving on down the road.
But Democrats are trying to make it a bumpy road out of Washington for Karl Rove. Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy says Rove has acted as if he were above the law. Leahy notes Rove remains under subpoena in the investigation into the firings of U.S. attorneys. With the administration claiming executive privilege, Leahy says Rove and the White House are under a cloud.
I'm Mark Knoller with the president in Crawford, Texas. Karl Rove says his decision to resign has nothing to do with the subpoenas and investigations directed at him. In fact, he says he's tempted to stick around for the next fight. On the flight here aboard Air Force One, Rove said that even after he leaves his White House post, he'll still be covered by the president's claim of executive privilege. Further, he'll still be available to give advice. In his words, I'll be kibitzing from the outside. Mark Knoller, CBS News, Crawford, Texas.
Rove says he wants to teach and will write a book, but his immediate plan is to make some money. Now this.
Sears Book, Chapter 9, Tires and Dads. It all began when Jill got her license. Her father looked at the family car's ball tires and panicked. He went straight to Sears Auto Center and bought four Goodyear tires at the lowest prices guaranteed. So when Jill safely rolls in at $9.59, he's glad he chose the best. This life chapter and the lowest prices on Goodyear tires can be found in the Sears Book. For a limited time, get a $20 or $40 Visa cash card with purchase of four select Goodyear tires. Sears, where it begins.
Rebate offer ends 8/25/07. Exclusions apply. See store for details on offer and the Sears Price Match Plus policy.
You put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this summer with two new No Worries Wednesday mixed grills. Our classic grilled seafood and steak, or our bold barbecue mixed grill. Enjoy two new mixed grills.
Let's go out back tonight.
Now you can order curbside takeaway online at outback.com. Just click and pick up.
Researchers have found an important new reason to watch your waistline. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has the story.
This study of almost 3,000 adults says the inches matter more than pounds, the belly fat that tends to build up in middle age.
It's more active fat that secretes circulating compounds that cause inflammation in blood and also contribute to blood clots.
Lead researcher Dr. James DeLimos at a university medical center in Dallas found a straight-line correlation. Every inch of fat around the waist means greater danger of heart attack and stroke. His prescription, a flat tummy if you can. Dan Raviv, CBS News.
Doctors in Cleveland have called off an attempt to separate conjoined twin girls.
Based on information gained from the most recent series of tests, it has become clear that the risk of further surgery outweighs the likelihood of benefit.
Dr. Nathan Levitan says heart problems and nervous system abnormalities make it too risky to proceed. The three-year-old girls born in Italy to Romanian parents are joined at the head, facing away from each other. In Huntington, Utah, mine operator Bob Murray briefed the media this afternoon.
I'm very disappointed to be telling you on the eighth day that we have not found six alive miners.
But neither have they found any dead miners, so the digging and drilling continues. Murray says there are still many reasons to have hope. Video shows the mine's roof is intact and there's plenty of drinkable water, but he acknowledges progress is way too slow. Two spacewalking astronauts replaced a broken gyroscope on the International Space Station today.
Denver, Houston, Big Loop, just so you know, we've checked the connectivity on the new CMG, and it all checked out good.
All right, that's great news. Thanks, Sam.
Mission managers are still pondering whether that gouge in Shuttle Endeavour's belly needs to be repaired before it comes home. They don't plan to make a decision before Wednesday. The stock market seemed to stabilize today, encouraged by central banks pumping more money into the financial system and by a government report showing strong retail sales in July. The Dow closed just 3 points lower at 13,236, the NASDAQ down 2 points to 2542. More pressure on Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick. His remaining two co-defendants in the federal dogfighting case have scheduled hearings to enter plea agreements later this week. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Right now, Office Depot has unbelievable deals for back to school. Office Depot has everything from binders to backpacks, calculators to crayons, all in one place. And with the Office Depot low price guarantee, you never have to worry about paying too much. Office Depot is the place to shop for everything on that back to school supplies list. So don't be late for school. Come in today to Office Depot. Taking care of business and back to school. See store for details.
Can you guess where is Michelin Man? He's heading off-road to the daunting River of No Return. Fortunately, Michelin Man will return, because he has Michelin's new LTX AT2 tires, with class-leading off-road traction, plus exceptional on-road comfort for his trip home. For more on Michelin's new LTX AT2 tires, and to see where the River of No Return is, visit michelinman.com/guesswhere.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Claim based on internal Michelin off-road evaluation versus competition. See website for details.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Your humble host has just returned from a lengthy vacation. I was out of the country, unplugged, and getting caught up on key stories. And I flip on the breakfast shows this morning, and what a nice little present. Karl Rove, leaving the Bush White House. One of the ugly surprises I got while I was out of the country was the passage of the legalization of the NSA spying program with complicity from many Democrats. We're going to open up that issue in about half an hour. And next hour, we're going to name names. We will read the list of Democrats who voted for this unconstitutional rollback of our rights. And joining us for some comments about Karl Rove's return to Texas to spend more time ignoring his family, Joe Mealy, who is co-director and producer of Bush's Brain, the documentary. And, of course, that was inspired by the book by Wayne Slater and Jim Moore. And Jim Moore has been a guest on our program on many occasions. He's a great Texan and has offered us some fascinating stories about Karl Rove. Joe, welcome back to our show today.
Well, thank you, Peter.
We've extended the shelf life of your documentary.
Well, yeah, it's funny. It never really died exactly because Karl Rove kept being in the news, and people still learn from it.
Yeah, indeed. And it's only $4.95 now to download a copy at your from the website,
as a download, or you can buy a DVD. But you can also see it for free on Netflix if you're a member.
Okay. Bushesbrain.com is the website if you'd like to see it. So, Joe, were you surprised by the timing of this announcement?
I was very surprised. I thought he would be the last one to leave, but here he is. And, yeah, I am surprised.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think the calculus is? Because, if anything, Karl Rove is a very calculating guy.
There's no question about that. I wonder if he is, if what he's really going to do is either is work for another candidate who's going to run for a Republican running for president. That he won't do it outwardly, but there's a good chance he'll do it behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. And
who that would be, I don't know. One thing that Karl Rove does bring to the table is the ability to raise an enormous amount of funds. That's how he controlled political candidates in Texas. If you signed up with Karl, or really if he signed up with you, you would have a gigantic advantage financially. So I would look for a candidate that believes like he does, but also may need a financial push.
Yeah. Well, and it's not Tommy Thompson. We know that much.
That's right.
I think there are at least two broken hearts over that announcement, Tommy and Mrs. Thompson.
That's right.
They didn't want to be the second Thompson in the race, even though he was the first Thompson to announce.
Right.
And so who would be more likely? I mean, of the evangelicals, Sam Brownback placed in the Iowa straw poll. Mitt Romney is still running very strong there. Of course, Giuliani and McCain didn't participate, so it's hard to track them in the picture right now.
No, I would only be speculating. Possibly Fred Thompson, somebody who, where Karl Rove would bring something again to the table would be maybe with the Christian right, and so Mike Huckabee possibly, Fred Thompson maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But we can all guess. Maybe we could take him at his word, although I think if anything, he may go back, write a book, and give speeches. He was third only to George W. Bush and Dick Cheney on being able to raise funds by giving a speech in Republican events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you watch the departure video today with Bush talking about how he'll be on the road behind him? That's a dangerous.
I missed it, and then I tried to log on to see it on CNN on the web, and could not log on because it was so many people, I guess, were watching it.
Well, there's a clip that we pulled, and I'm unable to play it again right now, which could mean that the server is just overwhelmed. But anyway, Bush gave a little talk, and he talked about how Rove was leaving, and he said that I'll be behind you on that road or something like that in a short time. He was really laying on the thick Texas draw as he said this. And then, of course, Rove made some comments, and they hopped on a helicopter to fly to Texas at our expense with no opportunity for questions from the lapdog press.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
I wonder where that accent came from, because it's not. It seems to grow. The more he's been in Washington, the more his accent has strengthened.
Well, it's been enhanced by a weekend with Sarkozy up at Kennebunkport.
Yes.
Talking no French. Bush did have a funny comment, though, when he was asked about his French. He said, well, I can barely speak English. So in your view, using this, reference of Bush's brain, how will Bush function without Karl Rove in his inner circle at the White House?
I think that's a key question. I think I've always said he'll have real problems functioning without Karl Rove. So what's behind this? I think the question to look at is who will replace him, and why did this happen? I'm not convinced that he was not forced out, and by who, and how will it affect what George Bush does for the future?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we've got Mary Madeline. We've got people still hanging around at the White House, or at least in the wings, who are very loyal, like Karen Hughes. And loyalty, I think, is Bush's number one trait that he seeks in staffers.
Yeah, but neither of those people, I think, really engineered the political process for Bush. I mean,
right.
That will be what is missing. And even though things are falling apart, it was Karl Rove's job to design what came out of the White House and their strategy, and who will replace him with that. And, you know, recently it seemed like nobody was doing that, but I think that was really a function of how bad things had become, not so much that they weren't trying.
So you think Bush has reached the point where he thinks this lame duck home stretch is a no-brainer so he can send his brain back to Texas?
I think that, no, I think it's desperation. Who knows? It may be things are, we're speculating, but it may be things are falling apart, that people are blaming people for everything, but who knows? I hate to speculate on that.
Joe Mealy with us. He is co-director, producer of the documentary Bush's Brain. Visit bushesbrain.com for a download and other information about the documentary. And, of course, many of us speculate that Rove is trying to become a little less available for subpoenas and for the battle over executive privilege. Now, the battle doesn't go away because Bush has broadly asserted this and has a veteran obstructionist, Fred Fielding, there to press the legal matters and stretch this out, run out the clock. So do you think that some of this was a way to try to deflect or reduce the targeting of the White House by the Senate Judiciary Committee in particular?
Well, I wonder if it's not so much that as to get Karl Rove out of the news as quickly as possible, so that people aren't, so he becomes less of a target for Congress, less than prosecution. And it may be that he's, you know, out of town, out of sight, out of mind.
But they've spent so much to hold on to him, coughing up Scooter, allowing him to get convicted and then pardoning him, all that take a political toll. And so you look at the price they've already paid to hold on to Rove, and now suddenly it's okay for him to leave.
Well, that's why I was shocked about it and very surprised by it.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't that suggest that they feared something worse?
That may be. Yeah, that may be. I mean, I think they're in a bunker-down position for the next year and a half to keep from anything resembling talk of impeachment from starting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously for that to really happen, I think they have to get Republicans behind them, too, just right. Because of the numbers.
But isn't Gonzalez a clear and present liability greater than Rove? Because, after all, it's very clear that he lied under oath. Rove's mischievous behavior is still cloaked in layers of refusals and misleading testimony and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I know. But what you're asking me to do is, in a sense, is to defend Bush's decisions over the last couple months and say that there's some logic to it. And it may be that there is no logic to it, or it may be internally a power struggle over who's in charge here. And I don't mean with George Bush, but in terms of of advisors at the White House.
Well, you've put it aptly, and I apologize for putting you in that position. We'll take a break and return with Joe Mealy. If you have a question or a comment about Karl Rove's resignation, you can bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Or go ahead, drop me an email. The website's back up, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Time again, and this year we're homegrown at the Monterey County Fair. We're talking six big days of family-packed entertainment from Tuesday, August 14th through Sunday, August 19th. Stop by every day for free headline entertainment including the Paul Thorne Band, War, Pam Tillis, Night Ranger, plus our homegrown band showcase featuring top local bands. Your entire family will love the free exhibits including the Busy Bee Dogs and Hugo the One Man Band. You will love the Beer and Wine Pavilion featuring homegrown beers and wines, all this and much, much more just for $8 if you're an adult. Admission for 6 to 12-year-olds is only $4, and kids under 6 get in for free. Kids' Day is Tuesday, Seniors' Day is Wednesday, and Military Appreciation Day is Thursday. From August 14th through August 19th, the fun will be at the 2007 Monterey Fair. Don't miss it. For information and to buy tickets, go online at www.montereycountyfair.com or call the fair office at 831-372-1000. That's 831-372-1000 for the homegrown Monterey County Fair.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale reminding you to listen in every Saturday for my show, 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays 4 to 5 p.m., honest talk about addictions and how recovery is possible. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. With addictions now the number one fastest rising disease in America, I mean all addictions, sex, food, gambling, alcohol, shopping, we are all affected. So listen in and call in. Saturdays 4 to 5 with me, Sheila Gale, brought to you by Sun Street Centers, prevention and recovery centers serving the Monterey Peninsula for over 30 years.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the very latest. And we're going to check in with the folks from the CHP who kindly provide us with some information. And they tell us that we have a problem here. As our computer, there we go. We had a problem northbound 17 just before the summit. It was a stalled SUV blocking the lane there, but it looks like everything has cleared up since then. Monterey, southbound 101 just before Blackie Road, tire tread in the lanes there. I know you don't want to get too excited about that. And northbound 101 at Chula River, we had some pruning shears. Yes, pruning shears in the middle of the lanes there. You know, you don't hear about that every day, do you? Gilroy, Hollister, looks like Gilroy, Palm Avenue at Santa Teresa. We have a two-car crash there, was blocking the roadway. It's now off to the right-hand shoulder. And northbound Highway 1, just before 218, we have a crash being reported there. It's on the shoulder as well.
At the White House today, Karl Rove announced he's leaving the building. Ah, but is he leaving the administration? That's some of the speculation roiling today. You can join this conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And here is Mr. Rove being quizzed by an unfriendly, a very hostile Brit Hume.
Bush's brain that has been around for a while, I suppose, but is beginning to turn up now in more and more outlets, and copies are being sent to members of the news media and so forth. And I'd like to just play a sample from that film and get your reaction to it.
I have truly come to believe that the politics and the policies and the power of Karl Rove is a threat to our republic.
That's Jim Moore.
What about that? Seems to be the theme of that film. What about that?
I'd find out what swamp that guy was drinking water out of. I mean, that's Jim Moore, who's the author of the book on which the film is based. He's a far left winger. I mean, it's laughable. I mean, it's this town is built on myths, and I've become a convenient myth.
In what sense?
I'm Bush's brain. If you don't want to acknowledge that this president is one of the best educated, most thoughtful, brightest presidents that we've had, you got to find an excuse. And the excuse is to claim that he doesn't have a brain and that his brain resides in somebody else's body.
We continue now with Joe Mealy. He's co-director and producer of the documentary that Fox News just slimed called Bush's Brain.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
All right, Joe, so what kind of swamp water did you drink when you made Bush's Brain?
Well, what was interesting about about that quote, what Karl Rove said about the film, it's kind of a technique that Rove uses over and over, which is to divide. And if you oppose the president, then he tries to marginalize you by saying you're the far left or you're far this, rather when in fact Jim Moore actually voted for George Bush twice for governor and once for president,
yeah,
back in 2000. And when he saw what, because he supported him as governor, thought he did a fine job. He was not far left, but fairly centrist. And then he saw what happened when George Bush became president, and then wrote the book about it.
Mm-hmm. So how far left are you? Like to the left of the armadillos in the left lane of the highway in Texas?
Well, I'm not that far left. I'm not. The reality is I have a small business, a family. I worry about paying taxes. But what Rove did that's interesting and unique in history, I think, is if you oppose the war in Iraq, for example, from the beginning, all of a sudden that became a far-left position.
Right.
Why is that? That anything that's, is it far-right to support an invasion? Is it far-right to lower taxes and when you don't increase and then increase spending? Is that is that
sure? And is it far right to ignore New Orleans before, during, and after?
Exactly. I mean, it's just common sense. But by labeling people and marginalizing them, their opinions, he stamps out opposition or opposing political thought.
One of the other things that he and Tom DeLay were masters at, or are masters at, is pointing a finger at the opponents for doing what you're doing and demonizing them for it.
Oh, there's no question.
And so the whole thing over the U.S. attorneys is a political theater. Well, who wrote the play? Who wrote the screenplay there? It wasn't Democrats.
Well, in fact, he did the same thing in Texas. He had a number of investigations done through political allies that sent people to jail for no real reason.
Mm-hmm.
He has a long history of that.
Yeah, Marianne. Marianne is no longer with us from Pacific Grove. I wanted to hear her comment. Call us back if you have a chance there, Marianne. Any other examples of Rove strategies that you've seen used effectively?
One thing that he is famous for, and that he does over and over again, he rarely attacks an opponent's weakness.
Yeah.
He lets the press do that on their own, but he always goes after an opponent's strength. And a perfect an example of that is John McCain in 2000 in South Carolina. John McCain had won the primary in New Hampshire by a sizable margin, and if he went on to win South Carolina, he probably would have been the Republican nominee. But they just pulled out all stops in South Carolina, accusing John McCain. One of his strengths was his war record, and they accused him of having a rough war, being a little mental from mm-hmm. him, from his prisoner of war years. And in fact, his wife, he and his wife had adopted a baby girl from Bangladesh, and rumors were passed around that he'd had a black love child from a prostitute.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, well, that's right. And what's interesting, and the same thing happened in the Kerry campaign, obviously, with what we call the swift voting of him.
Mm-hmm.
But why John Kerry was so surprised about that has always puzzled me. That was just classic Rove technique.
Well, the other thing, the Democrats laid down their arms at the convention in Boston, and it was only Al Sharpton who broke the rules in a primetime address where he threw away his script and launched a bunch of broadsides against the Bush administration. It was the only break in the pattern where they forbade any of the speakers to really attack the Bush administration. And then, of course, the convention in New York that the Republicans held, framed by 9/11, was very effective, and they just fired away night after night.
That's right. I mean, the Democrats for the last those two elections, a lot of it had to do with Karl Rove, but a lot of it had to do with the Democrats campaigning out of fear. Almost, they were afraid to make a mistake, and we saw what happened.
Yeah, Joe Mealy, thanks for joining us today. Again, people can download Bush's Brain, the documentary, at bushesbrain.com. Good to talk to you again, Joe.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Coming up next, David McMichael will join us, a former CIA analyst. We're going to talk about how, while I was on vacation, we have suddenly legalized the NSA spying program. I'm livid about this, and I'm going to find out more as we continue. Your calls and comments are welcome, as usual, 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Office Depot. Trust Office Depot for everything your business needs. Office Depot, taking care of business. And by Tourism Ireland. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com. I'm Charles Osgood. The so-called subprime mortgage crisis has come about because too many people couldn't make the payments on home mortgage loans that they really shouldn't have taken out. Or to put it another way, that lenders shouldn't have given them because they should have known better. But in many cases, those lenders then bundled such paper and sold it off to other institutions who don't know anything about the people who suddenly owed them money. There was an awful lot of that going on. And something else you should know about after this for Office Depot. Right now, Office Depot has unbelievable deals for back to school. Office Depot has everything from binders to backpacks, calculators to crayons, all in one place. With the Office Depot low price guarantee, you never have to worry about paying too much. Office Depot is the place to shop for everything on that back to school supplies list. So don't be late for school. Come in today to Office Depot, taking care of business and back to school. I want to tell you about a place in Europe that's just waiting to be discovered, where breathtaking natural wonders leave even a seasoned traveler like me speechless. Ancient castles where you can live like a king. Bustling cities where culture, fine dining, and vibrant nightlife meet. I'm talking about Ireland, where not a day goes by without something new being discovered. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com or call 1-800-SHAMROCK. For your free Ireland vacation planner. Many of the so-called subprime mortgages were ARM, or adjustable rate mortgages, many with a built-in balloon, at some point the rate being reset. And that is about to happen big time, says CBS News correspondent Michelle Miller.
A massive wave of 2 million subprime mortgages will reset to sky-high interest rates over the next 18 months, with the peak of them hitting this October. Analysts estimate when it's all over, nearly 2.5 million people who bought between 2004 and 2006 could lose their homes.
The balloon is about to hit Elsa Bocage. Her mortgage payments go up next year from $3,300 to $4,200 a month.
The mortgage that I pay now is very hard to maintain it. And for it to go up any more, it's going to be worse for me.
Losing her home is not out of the question.
I wouldn't say I'm afraid that I might lose it, but that could be the case.
States are under pressure now to bail out the lenders, reports Michelle Miller.
Some states have already begun. Massachusetts, New York, and Ohio have announced multi-million dollar bailouts, with four other states considering plans, including a billion-dollar proposal in hardest-hit California.
Critics, like the economist Dean Baker, are afraid the wrong people are going to be bailed out.
It's a safe bet to say that, in general, the people who are holding that debt are much better off than the homeowners.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs, and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773. Sorry, I was napping.
Live.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
So I take a little three-week vacation, leave the country, unplug from the grid, with an occasional peek at the International Herald Tribune. And over the first weekend in August, the Bush administration intimidates members of Congress, including many Democrats, into legalizing the NSA spying program. I am shaking my bald head. I don't get it. Joining us to talk about it is David McMichael. He's a former analyst for the Central Intelligence Agency, and he's a member of the steering committee of VIPS. That's Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. And among his colleagues, people like Ray McGovern, Mel Goodman, and many others who have served our country. David McMichael and Pooch, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, let me, let me throw this dog out of here for one second. He's got something he's barking at.
Yeah? Well, maybe Homeland Security's knocking on your door. This is live radio. Can you tell? I think you can. Ah, the dog is quiet, or at least outdoors now.
Sorry about that.
Well, that's much better. Hopefully the dog lived.
Well, I usually threaten him at this point to take him to a Vietnamese restaurant and leave him.
With a recipe book, huh?
Anyway.
Well, welcome to our program, and you heard my setup. I left the country believing that good-intentioned legislators, including some Republicans, would never legalize this NSA spying program, which, based on the legislation, we can now say was illegal, as the president and the attorney general and the intelligence czars had pursued it up until at least January of 2007.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, like you, I have just returned from several weeks outside the country.
Okay.
Again, on vacation, not looking at anything except the Irish Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, come back to find this and... you know, I wish I could say I was surprised. I am, again, very, very seriously disappointed that the Congress would fold on this. And again, it's, you know, it's very much like that period immediately after 9/11 when what was the USA Patriot Act was passed.
Right.
Okay, so this time... We now have a Protect America Act,
mm-hmm.
Which Patricia Williams, the excellent columnist for The Nation, has renamed the Protect Alberto Gonzalez Act in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So this act basically, you know, represents the old dictum that whatever can be done through technology will be done regardless of whether it is either useful or good. And this act, as much as anything else, represents the opportunity given, let us say, by the globalization of international communications. The fact that a telephone call originating, let's say, in Bucharest and whose recipient is in London will just as likely as not pass through a electronic communication center within the United States.
A switch, yes.
Yeah, a switch place. So mm-hmm. this allows the cooperating, and they do cooperate, communications corporation
mm-hmm.
to turn over its transmission belt to basically the National Security Agency, which is primarily responsible for monitoring communications for the U.S. intelligence system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem, you know, which has come up over and over again with this business of intercepting personal communications, resulted after the scandals of the Vietnam era and the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978.
And let's not forget the abuses of the Nixon administration, where they used national security issues to muddy the waters and try to block the investigation into Watergate, which had nothing to do with national security. It was political snooping on the part of some of the plumbers from the Nixon administration.
Yes, and Peter, if I may call you.
Yes, you
My first name, you know, national security is possibly the least well-defined term in the United States political vocabulary. There is no recognized legal definition of national security.
Mm-hmm.
So this can be raised and used. I think the way in which it was used, as you referred to, during the Watergate era, and again has been used, is a full illustration of the, you know, what is they see as political possibility here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for someone who's worked in the system to not to get angry at watching, you know, as Yogi Berra famously said, deja vu all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Again, here in that the executive branch, as it is done really since 1972, has picked up the lesson of the defeat of George McGovern. You mentioned Nixon in that 1972 election.
Right.
To use the national security phantom to attack the opposition party, in this case the Democratic Party,
and
use it successfully over and over again. Because
yeah.
All you got to do is hold that boogeyman mask up, and these people panic and flee. Like, as I don't know if you listen to the program. Wait, don't tell me.
Oh, sure.
Time to time.
Oh yeah, I love that show.
Yeah, that's a good show. And Saturday's production. There was a necessity to define invertebrate.
Mm-hmm.
And the definition advanced to great applause and laughter from the Minneapolis audience was congressional Democrats.
Well, it's funny for a moment, but it's really sad because...
Yes, it is.
Let me start this angle, David McMichael. You served in the Central Intelligence Agency for how long, and what were your duties?
Well, let's say I was in the building for the 2 years, 1981 to 1983, as a member of the staff of the National Intelligence Council, which is the coordinating body for the U.S. intelligence system.
Mm-hmm.
And I was responsible there for the Western Hemisphere analyses, and I finally left in 1983 simply because I could not agree at all with the conclusions being pushed by William Casey, then Director of Central Intelligence, regarding the rationale for the Contra War.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wound up, to my surprise, 2 years later testifying against the United States at the World Court in The Hague, precisely on that matter. But
very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, let me offer a couple of comments here and ask you to agree or disagree as vigorously as you like. Number one, I believe that there are real threats against our country that require extraordinary means, and that the FISA law permits extraordinary means, including the delayed reporting of taps that are instituted and very generous standards that are rarely narrowed by the court as it approves warrant after warrant.
You have encapsulated that very well.
Okay, and so the Bush administration has argued that while it has never defined the scope of this program, and that even some members of the Senate Intelligence Committee don't know the full operational details of the program, they have argued that they must have this authority, and that the president basically just grabbed the power under the Constitution and imputed war powers, that he's doing this to protect the American people. Yet the FISA process was so loose and so friendly to law enforcement that someone from your perspective must have believed that it's in the best interest of the intelligence community to operate within that law, to observe the probable cause element of the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, and to conduct these activities in a way that's consistent with our constitutional rights here in this country.
Well, there are certainly people within the Central Intelligence Agency and elsewhere in the intelligence system, as throughout the United States government, who do very strongly believe in adhering to the constitutional process, and who do not. And the thing that you've made very clear to listeners here is that the FISA Court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act Court, that was set up in 1978, is a secret body, I think, of 13 justices, meet on the seventh floor of the Justice Department. And they received requests from the executive branch, from the government, to issue a warrant allowing the wiretapping of an individual on the grounds in which you grant a warrant, probable cause. And this court set up over the vigorous objections of the executive branch then under Gerald Ford.
Including Dick Cheney.
Yes, indeed, of course. But this represents the fact that, because you referred to the fact, the FISA court has been very, very quick to respond to these. I think there's a dozen instances in the whole history of the court in which it has refused, initially at least.
Right, and one of the judges went public and said that on 9/11 itself, he was approving warrants over the phone on his way in from the Pentagon to the Justice Department.
I've heard that, but as I say, it's been very responsive, only a very few times, and the law, even the original law, allowed for the surveillance to begin without warrant.
Right.
And that the judges had, had to be submitted to the court within a week, and then the judges could determine whether the surveillance should continue. So there's never been a particular problem. My friend Colleen Rowley, whose name I think you know.
Sure, FBI, Minneapolis.
That's exactly
right.
Ran
for Congress.
That's right. Nice lady.
Yeah.
I've had her as a guest in my home. But, she, in her capacity there, had requested that the FBI headquarters ask for a warrant so she could get at the computers of one of these guys who was in Minneapolis at the time, who was a 9/11 flyer. And for reasons that are hard to comprehend, the FBI central office said, well, they didn't want to ask the court for this because they were afraid it would get turned down and that would give the FBI a black eye. I mean, that's the way people sometimes rationalize what they do. And this became a major argument for saying, well, you see, there are too many restrictions here, so we've got to knock down these walls and just go out and do it. And much of this was incorporated in the Patriot Act that was followed within, 45 days of 9/11?
It was faster than that.
Yeah.
Nobody read it?
No. Well, who could?
They just jammed it through.
You'd have to take a speed reading course to begin. And, so this was all done in the name, once again, of that term, national security.
Right. And then they did it again last fall with the Military Commissions Act.
Exactly.
And as if the Democrats hadn't caught on, they did it again just in the last couple of weeks. David, we need to take a break and we'll return in just a moment. David McMichael, a former analyst at the Central Intelligence Agency, is our guest. We're talking about the legislation that was passed with the complicity of many Democrats. And we're going to name names coming up at the top of next hour of the Democrats who voted for this bad legislation. You got a question or a comment? You can call call me now or in the free speech zone next hour. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I'm your humble host, fresh back from vacation, Peter B. Collins.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention, whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
And taking a look at traffic in the Monterey, Carmel, and Salinas area, let's give you the very latest. Good afternoon. See, let's do. You got a bit of a problem being reported in Gilroy, actually. It's northbound 101 to the northbound 25 off ramp. Now, what's going on there? We had a vehicle that dropped a load of boards and nails to the tarp there. It's probably a construction truck, and it's in the roadway there, so we're reporting that. Also, a problem in Gilroy, Palm Avenue, at Santa Teresa. We do have a two-vehicle crash. The good news was blocking the lane. It's off to the 12 there. Let's go on over to Monterey, southbound 101, just after Blackie Road. We do have cars that are apparently swerving around large amounts of tire treads in the lanes. So watch out there. It looks like CHP on the way to the scene to clear that stuff up. That's traffic on KRXA.
The Collins Show is subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency. Benny, are you there?
Hello. NSA, I just called you to say I love you. I love you because you, really listen.
Send pizza delivery guys to your house. We're talking with David McMichael, a former CIA analyst, a member of the steering committee of VIPS, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. And while he and I were out of the country on vacation, some insane legislators permitted this bill to pass. And, David, there's a fascinating recap to help you and me that appeared in the Saturday New York Times. And they correctly take us back just to January of this year when the Bush administration announced that, well, we have found a way to comply with the FISA law. And they didn't really explain at the time how or exactly, you know, what had changed to permit this. And as Gonzalez got under increasing fire for the U.S. attorney's flap, this issue kind of receded into the background. And while there were some people who were talking about it, including California's senior senator Dianne Feinstein, it appeared that it was not really on a fast track. And then suddenly, starting in April and May, Mike McConnell, the new director of national intelligence, started talking about an intelligence gap. And then in July, they dropped the bomb to many members of Congress that because of this compliance with the FISA law, the amount of eavesdropping had dropped to 25%, and then Mike Chertoff's gut kicked in. And he told us that his gut, which is not as big as mine, I'll have to be honest, had told him that attacks were imminent. And as a result of this kind of rhetoric and manipulation of information, many Democrats took the bait. And at the top of the next segment of the show, we are going to name the names. We're going to read the Democratic senators and the Democratic members of the House who voted for this bad legislation that rolls back our constitutional rights and, in my view, does nothing to enhance our safety. What's your take on the way the administration appeared to be submitting to the FISA law only to create a pretext to gut it?
Well, it's... The basic part, at least for me, is that all administrations, and this administration far more than any that I know about, is resistant to and dislikes judicial restraint on the way in which it executes laws, or even more important, in my opinion, because we're dealing in an area where the presidential executive orders, which there have been thousands issued since roughly 1947 in this area, are not, strictly speaking, laws, but they are treated by the courts typically as if they were legislation. And so it's these limitations on executive freedom of action, if you will, that are really behind much of this.
Mm-hmm.
And when the executive finds itself in a position as it is now, with a not controlling the majority in the Congress, it becomes even more insistent on this freedom of the, dare I say, unitary executive to
right.
to act. So I think that's at the basis of it, and it doesn't have a whole lot to do with any sort of thing such as brought forward, well, the amount of information we're getting has dropped up by 25%.
No, 225%. They're saying
225% of what they were getting.
And just to give you one example, we know from the Padilla trial in Miami that they intercepted more than 300,000 communications in order to come up with 9 phone calls where they think Jose Padilla or Padilla was on the line. And just that tidbit of information shows you the scope and the kind of open-ended mining for...
That's the term, data mining.
Yeah.
is the term for that.
And so, you know, Bush says that it's legal, that it's narrow, and that it's protecting the American people. And I don't buy any one of those.
No, and I think the reference to an op-ed which appeared in the L.A. Times last week, which two former Justice Department officials, in both Republicans, argued that, well, our privacy is compromised daily by government and non-government actors. This is the price of living in a modern society. In other words, forget about it, because you can't stop it. We have, by the way, a relatively little known intelligence office in Alexandria, Virginia, called FinCEN. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or not.
I've not.
Okay, FinCEN was established during the 1980s, ostensibly to deal with the matter of international money laundering.
Mm-hmm.
But through that system. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to sound like a Birch Committee, commissioner, organization guy, society guy on this. But that any time you, you know, use your ATM card, that's a data blip that will pass through FinCEN.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the unarguably, the people who run that are, you know, concerned to use it honestly, but the point at issue and the thing that I think that gives you, me, many other citizens real fears, you know, is that somebody is getting or is able to access all this information and use it for whatever purpose they decide to do. And
David McMichael, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today, a member of the steering committee of VIPS, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity.
I told our people, get information without torture, and was assured by our Justice Department that we were not torturing.
And you need to know, they hate us because we love freedom.
Well, we've never been stay the course, George.
And I think it's important in a time of war that to the extent possible, we leave politics out of the major decisions being made.
However, we will not go along with a partisan fishing expedition aimed at honorable public servants. And I proposed a reasonable way to avoid an impasse.
Said was the Czech intelligence service reported after 9/11 that Atta had been in Prague on April 9th of 2001, where he allegedly met with an Iraqi intelligence official. We have never been able to confirm that, nor have we been able to knock it down. It's been pretty well confirmed that he did go to Prague and he did meet with a senior official of the Iraqi intelligence service in Czechoslovakia last April.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. On the White House South Lawn, after President Bush said farewell to Karl Rove, the advisor he calls Boy Genius, CBS News correspondent Bill Plant shouted a provocative question. If he's so smart, how come he lost Congress? The president was walking away and didn't answer. But University of Virginia political science professor Larry Sabato says Plant had a point. Rove's political skills may have been overrated.
He barely won in 2000 in a race he probably should have won easily. He handily won the 2004 reelection race in a difficult environment. He completely blew 2006 and mispredicted it even on election eve.
Rove announced today that he'll be leaving the administration at the end of the month.
Now it seems the right time to start thinking about the next chapter in our family's life. It's not been an easy decision, as you know from our discussions that started last summer. It always seemed there was a better time to leave somewhere out there in the future. But now is the time.
The president said they'll remain friends. He gave Rove and family a lift to Texas aboard Air Force One as Mr. Bush started a summer vacation at his ranch. At the Crandall Canyon Mine in Utah, it's day 8.
We continue to work very hard. The crews are enthusiastic. Morale is high. We continue to work here as a team.
Richard Stickler of the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Rescue workers continue to dig toward the 6 miners while on the surface they're drilling a third hole, hoping it might break through to the area where the men are trapped. Officials say there's still cause for hope. There's drinkable water down below, and trapped miners have been known to survive as long as 2 weeks underground. In Minneapolis, they're still searching for 4 people missing since the bridge collapse. The confirmed death toll is 9. Officials are moving fast to replace the span over the Mississippi. They've already picked a preliminary design. A CBS News poll finds broad support for increased government spending on infrastructure, even if it means higher taxes. Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic says half of all Republicans are on board with that.
They'd be willing to pay more in taxes if it meant that money went to repair the infrastructure, the system of roads and bridges in the United States.
57% of those surveyed said they thought the roads and bridges in their area were fairly good. The hurricane season's heating up. Hawaii is bracing for a glancing blow from Hurricane Flossie, now downgraded to a Category 3 storm, and a tropical depression has formed in the far eastern Atlantic. As it moves toward the Caribbean, forecasters expect it to become Tropical Storm Dean. Part 1 of today's spacewalk is complete. 2 astronauts have unbolted a broken gyroscope from the space station. They've moved that 600 piece of equipment out of the way, and they've installed a replacement. NASA is still deciding whether astronauts will have to go outside to repair the underbelly that was damaged during liftoff. The Dow, 3 points lower today. The Nasdaq lost 2. This is CBS News.
Reason number 22 to switch to GEICO. We think renters are cool.
Now, we don't know if you were born cool or if it's just all the cool stuff you have in your apartment. The point is, if you want to protect your considerable coolness, ask GEICO about renter's insurance. For as little as $12 a month, you can protect all the stuff you hold near and dear, including that combination flat-screen TV espresso machine. Now that is cool.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Pump four is on. Go ahead and fill.
Don't get conservative on your summer travel plans because of high gas prices. Just get a Garmin and make every trip more efficient. Garmin's portable navigators put a world of maps and travel info at your fingertips. Tap the screen to look up restaurants, hotels, and attractions, and get voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on Broadway.
Some Garmin navigators even list gas prices and can route you to the station with the cheapest fill-up. Garmin, don't just get there. Arrive.
The warning about toothpaste from China tainted with a chemical used in antifreeze went out 2 months ago, but now it's been expanded to include toothpaste in hotel rooms. CBS News correspondent Harley Carnes explains.
Don't eat the toothpaste the hotels give you. It's one way to look at the toothpaste recall of those teeny tiny little freebie tubes.
You never want to minimize this. DEG does not belong in toothpaste. That the FDA has not had one incident of anybody falling ill from DEG and toothpaste, and really because you don't digest toothpaste. And also, I think GNS is fortunate. It's a small size.
Kathy DeVoe is president of Gilchrist and Soames in Indianapolis, which made the toothpaste. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Last week, Fisher-Price recalled 1.5 million toys for preschoolers made in China because they had excessive levels of lead. Over the weekend, the head of the company that manufactured the toys was found dead in the factory, an apparent suicide. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Sears Book Chapter 9, Tires and Dads. It all began when Jill got her license. Her father looked at the family car's ball tires and panicked. He went straight to Sears Auto Center and bought 4 Goodyear tires at the lowest prices guaranteed. So when Jill safely rolls in at $9.59, he's glad he chose the best. This life chapter and the lowest prices on Goodyear tires can be found in the Sears Book. For a limited time, get a $20 or $40 Visa cash card with purchase of 4 select Goodyear tires. Sears, where it begins.
Rebate offer ends 8/25/07. Exclusions apply. See store for details on offer and the Sears Price Match Plus policy.
Put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind.
Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this summer with 2 new No Worries Wednesday mixed grills. Our classic grilled seafood and steak, or our bold barbecue mixed grill. Enjoy 2 new mixed grills.
Let's go out back tonight.
Now you can order curbside takeaway online at outback.com. Just click and pick up.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Why? Why would Democrats take the bait of the fear-mongering of the Bushites and allow this bad, bad bill legalizing the NSA wiretapping and other eavesdropping programs? Why? Why? My lines are open for you. It's the free speech zone this entire hour. There are no guests or other events scheduled, so get on the line. And can you help me? You know, I've been away. I was off on vacation over in Italy, out of touch, not consuming news in my regular fashion. And I frankly was shocked to see how quickly the Democrats caved. Did they need their vacation so badly that they had to just hold their noses and pass this piece of crap? And oh, they say that they put a sunset on it. It's only good through the end of this year, and they're going to pass better legislation this fall. Well, that's what they told us about the Stalin Act, the Military Commissions Act from last year. Yeah, we're going to fix it. The Supreme Court will overturn the worst parts of it, so don't you worry. Well, we cannot have that kind of confidence, not with the Roberts Court. And so in a moment, I'm going to read to you the sorry list, the shameful list of Democratic senators and congresspeople who voted for this bill. And if there's anything you can add to the discussion to explain to me the details I may have missed, the nuances, or some of the exchanges that took place, feel free to do so. Chris is on the line. He's got something I didn't know about that we'll interject here in a moment. But I think this is a turning point, and not a good one for the Democrats. Why didn't Nancy Pelosi just put this in the pocket of her Gucci suit and sally out of Congress for the summer recess and say, I'll get back to you? And why didn't Harry Reid and others stand up and say, the FISA law may need a few amendments, but we are not going to legalize the intentional continual lawbreaking of the Bush administration? And at this time, when Gonzalez is on the ropes, they gave one to Bush, a freebie. And it really, really steams me. Now, before I go to the list, I want to mention a theory that I have. During the preceding segment, we recounted that starting back in January, there was a feint from the Bush administration. They said, oh, we found a way to comply with the FISA law and submit this wiretapping program for court approval. Well, it was a trap. And this summer they came back and they told these people, we've got to have this legislation before you take the summer recess because our intelligence captures have dropped to 25% of previous levels. Now, of course, the raw count of the number of intercepts doesn't mean anything because they're casting a net so wide that there's not a necessary relationship between the number of total intercepts and the value of the information garnered from them. But that's too rational, isn't it? Because when you get everybody feared up, there are only two choices, right? You either support the establishment of a police state in our country, or you're a sympathizer with Osama bin Laden. And we've seen this before. Consider the case of Sibel Edmonds. She's been on this program many times, a courageous Turkish-American who was working at the FBI in the translation department, and she was fired for blowing the whistle on, among other things, the way her daily work was being deleted by her supervisor, and when she confronted him, he said, oh, we're trying to build up a backlog of translations so we can go to Congress and get more money. And in fact, they did that, and in fact, the Inspector General of the Department of Justice said that Sibel Edmonds' claims were credible. And what did they do here? They created a phony crisis. And they said, oh, we got to have this legislation. And rhinos, they're dinos, but they're Republicans like Dianne Feinstein, swallowed it. She's been eager to paper over this lawbreaking ever since it was exposed. And she tops our list of the sorry people who claim to be Democrats who voted for this legislation. 60-28 was the final tally in the Senate. Here you go. Evan Bayh of Indiana, Tom Carper of Delaware, Bob Casey, the conservative Democrat from Pennsylvania. Yeah, he knocked off Rick Santorum. But do we get an improved situation? Kent Conrad of North Dakota, Dianne Feinstein, Daniel Inouye of Hawaii, Amy Klobuchar, I interviewed her in Washington. She's a senator from Minnesota, a freshman. She's got 5 years on her term. She's not vulnerable for this vote. But she voted for it. Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, she's a sorry excuse of a Democrat. Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas, same. Claire McCaskill of Missouri, I don't get it. Again, she's a freshman with 5 years on her term. Barbara Mikulski of Maryland, I can't imagine that she's vulnerable. And then those sorry Nelson twins, Bill of Florida and Ben of Nebraska. They never saw Republican legislation they couldn't vote for. Mark Pryor of Arkansas, Ken Salazar of Colorado, former attorney general of that state. He should know better. And Jim Webb of Virginia? What the hell is Jim Webb doing voting for a piece of crap like this? He doesn't understand why he was elected, if he can vote for this kind of stuff. All right, now to the House. First, we offer praise to two Republicans, Tim Johnson of Illinois, not the senator who's disabled from South Dakota, and Walter Jones, both Republicans. Jones is from North Carolina, one of the few principled Republicans against the war in Iraq. All right, now to the sorry list of Democrats, and I'm going to go through it pretty quickly here. Jason Altmaier, Pennsylvania. John Barrow, Georgia. Melissa Bean, Illinois. Dan Boren, Oklahoma. Leonard Boswell, Iowa. Alan Boyd of Florida. Christopher Carney of Pennsylvania. Ben Chandler of Kentucky. Jim Cooper of Tennessee. Jim Costa from California, Fresno area, I believe. Robert Kramer, Alabama. Henry Cuellar, Texas. Arthur Davis, Alabama. Lincoln Davis, Tennessee. Joe Donnelly of Indiana. Chet Edwards of Texas. Brad Ellsworth of Indiana. Bob Etheridge of North Carolina. Bart Gordon of Tennessee, Stephanie Herseth Sandlin of South Dakota, Brian Higgins of New York, Barron Hill of Indiana, Nick Lamson of Texas. He's a five-termer. He's not, you know, at risk of having a Republican take his seat. Dan Lipinski of Illinois, Jim Marshall of Georgia, Jim Matheson of Utah, Mike McIntyre of North Carolina, Charlie Millencon of Louisiana, I don't know him, you can tell, Harry Mitchell, a freshman from Arizona, Colin Peterson from Minnesota, a nine-termer, Earl Pomeroy of North Dakota, an eight-termer, Ciro Rodriguez, who narrowly squeaked a re-election in Texas last year, Mike Ross of Arkansas. John Salazar, the brother of the senator from Colorado. Heath Shuler, a freshman conservative Democrat from North Carolina. Also Zach Space of Ohio, a freshman Democrat from a mostly Republican district. Vic Snyder of Arkansas. John Tanner of Tennessee. Gene Taylor, Mississippi. Tim Walz, Minnesota. Charlie Wilson of Ohio. Again, a freshman. There's one other angle I want to mention. Matt Renner, former producer of this program and now a reporter for TruthOut.org, has a story that you can find on the TruthOut homepage. Blue Dog Democrats, staunch Bush allies, it's headlined. And what he points out is 75% of the votes that I just recounted for you from Democrats in the House came from members of the Blue Dog Coalition. And they say that the Blue Dogs did not take an official position on this bill. Yet, correcting myself by a niche here, 76% of the Democratic support for the bill came from Blue Dogs. Now, fortunately, Mike Thompson, who is often in our critical sights here, did not vote for the bill. He's a Blue Dog, but, well, even some Blue Dogs have good days, I guess. Chris and Salinas, thanks for holding. You're up first here in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Ciao, Peter.
Hey, ciao to you, too. How you doing?
Benvenuto Speranza.
Ah, we had a great time there.
Benvenuto.
But I didn't learn a lot of Italian, I'm sorry to say. I know how to say yes and no, how much, and where's the bathroom?
I think I just told you welcome back.
Okay. Benvenuto or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw out, because what I was hearing on the radio today, and I can't remember who I heard it from, was that Harry Reid made a deal with Bush, the Bush administration, that if they pass this FISA, that they're going to, that Bush will not do any recess appointments. And seeing the senators who voted for this bill, I would say all of them are comfortably, they're not up for re-election, I don't believe, or they're safe.
I don't see any of them that are really at risk.
So
it's inexplicable to me that purely political calculations came into play. And so this is a vote that should have been made on principle, and the principles at stake are really serious. You know, this isn't like a little bit of pork barrel spending or, you know, some wasted money on a pet project of a member. This is one of the most critical constitutional issues we will ever face. And by caving in at this time and promising to fix it later, we know we're going to be saddled with this for years to come.
Yeah, I don't know. We should hold Klobuchar and Webb to task on this one, because both of those two, I can't believe. And then you mentioned two other senators that it's just unfathomable. But the rest of them are Republicans, Dianne Feinstein included.
Yeah.
So it's too bad.
And this desire to win back the majority at any cost by recruiting people like Bob Casey, I think that was a mistake. It really was. And sure, you know, I don't want the Republicans to be in control. And sometimes this is just wishful thinking. But we really need to take a stand at this point and force the hand of Democrats at the risk of losing the White House and control of one or both houses next year. Because if we don't stand on principle and hold them accountable for these kinds of egregious votes, then we really don't have anything to work with. And there's no point in a Democratic majority if they will rubber stamp the most onerous legislation that the opposition can put forward.
Yeah, there's only one Democrat that I know that has a spine worth bigger and stiffer than anybody, and that's Deborah Bowen, and I say her for president.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
Bye.
More of your calls coming up next. I've got one or two lines open, so join us and vent. Tell me your thoughts. Also, if there's any piece of this story you can fill me in on since I was gone, I'd appreciate the details. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
Tired of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Hold on, I gotta do it. Hey, everybody, let's take a look at traffic in the Salinas, Monterey, and Carmel area. Just got a call from the cellular caller, Stephanie, who called us about a crash. It is in Felton, Graham Hill Road at Mount Hermon. So this one just coming in via our caller on the right shoulder, two-car crash, and certainly appreciate that. Looks like police units on scene there. In Gonzales. Yes, Gonzales, northbound 101 after 5th Street. Watch out for this. It's a big ladder, and it's blocking the middle lane. It's the only details we have at this point. Also, getting word of a new problem. It's northbound 101 just before after 5th Street, and it's a large tire blocking the right lane. Got a car fire in Hollister. It's northbound 101 just before Silver Creek Valley Road, and this is a vehicle that is on fire. Just getting details here. It's on the right-hand shoulder. Fire department unit on the way to the scene there.
All right. on the Peter B. Collins Show. Except I clicked on the wrong button here for my powerful introduction of Gnarls Barkley.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space.
Are they crazy?
Out there, without care. Yeah, I was out of.
And are they out of touch with Americans like you and me? It's Peter B. Collins. I'm back from vacation. I'm puzzled, and I am vexed. V-E-X-E-D, vexed. It's a great Scrabble word, by the way. Got a lot of points for that. I am vexed that our elected leaders were snookered again by the Bush administration. And I'm sorry, fool me once, shame on me, right? Shame on them. Let's take your call. Susan in Santa Cruz, you're up next. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Well, except for this, I'm really glad to be back. I had a great trip, enjoyed my family. I'm over the jet lag now, and I've forgiven the airlines for their grievances.
Right. But, Italia is benissimo.
Oh, I love Italy. Yeah. I really had a great time.
And but, you didn't learn the money? You have to learn the numbers and the money right away. Every
uno,
country you go to.
Due, tre, quattro.
Well, it reminds me, your trip and then coming back for this reminds me of when I lived in Italy many, many years ago, and I swore I would never come back to this country if Nixon was elected.
Because
I couldn't understand how we could possibly do that.
Yeah.
And we did it. And I got kidnapped and brought back to the country by my aunt and uncle. Pretty funny, but anyway, long story. I flummoxed about this. I wrote Dianne Feinstein right away and did tell her that she's lost my vote unless she completely changes her position on a lot of things. And I think right now it's like not just a matter of our wonderful representatives being out of touch with us. I think it's us being out of touch with us and our power and doing something about this. So that's where I'm at right now, is I'd like to see us step up to the plate and invite somebody that we truly like who really represents us.
Well, and now we see Hillary Clinton with a 20-point lead in the polls, and those are not necessarily definitive, but it's really hard for anybody to catch up. Obama has stumbled a little bit. And the idea of choosing between a Giuliani, a Romney, a Thompson, and Hillary Clinton.
Right. Yes. Well, I want to say one thing that you may not know that I did see when you were out of the country.
All right.
And that was Buchanan saying that Kucinich won that debate.
Oh.
And he did it again. He spoke about him again really highly this weekend. Every time discussion comes up where they're not mentioning the so-called third tier, he mentions Kucinich.
Hmm.
And I'm finding that really interesting because you know who he is, right?
Yeah, I sure do.
What's the matter with us? And, you know, I was talking to some young people this weekend, and they're saying, you know, all this stuff is so terrible and terrible. And they hadn't even heard of Truth Out, so I told them about it. Like, go read.
Yeah.
Get yourselves informed. And then they were going on and on about, you know, I said, well, you know, you can do something about it. We could all vote for Kucinich, you know, and they go, oh, but he isn't electable. So if everybody falls for that lock, stock, and barrel, I really do believe he's electable. I believe he was electable last time also, except for people like, you know, well, you and Tom and everybody who said he wasn't electable. And, you know.
It is a conundrum, I understand. And on the one hand, you hear my politics, and I support Dennis Kucinich, and I believe he has the right positions on virtually every issue.
He's come out really strong now. He called himself, what's the name of the guy, the horse, the horse in the race.
Which horse race?
The movie.
With Spider-Man.
No. The horse that came from behind.
Right, but Spider-Man was the jockey.
No, not Spider-Man. Yeah, O'Connell, right. Well, anyway, he called himself that.
I never do well when it comes to the Hollywood section on Jeopardy. I'm just a loser.
Yeah, I know, me too. But anyway,
what was that horse called?
I think that it's time for us to stand up for what we believe, not for what we think is electable, because that's the only way it will be electable.
All right. I got you, Susan. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Lines are jammed, but one is just opening up now as we say goodbye to Susan. So call us right now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. We'll get right to your calls in the next segment and continue here in the Free Speech Zone. You can also email me. The website is back up and working. Apologies for the lapse. Peter@PeterBCollins.com. HumbleHost@PeterBCollins.com. Or, if you're feeling frisky, go for Big Mouth at PeterBCollins.com. Or even Full of It at PeterBCollins.com. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Acura TSX, a four-door compact, stylish, well-engineered. For $30,000, you get a lot to like. The TSX has a 2.4-liter fuel-injected four-cylinder engine with a five-speed automatic and has plenty of power and acceleration for its size. Acura promises no tune-ups for over 100,000 miles and gives you a six-year powertrain warranty. Great handling, excellent traction. Inside, it's loaded with accessories. GPS navigation system with a great display, satellite radio, his and hers climate control, moonroof, and full airbags. Pretty big trunk, too. If I had anything critical to say about the TSX, you'd hear it right here. Test drive it before you buy an Infiniti, Volvo, or BMW in this price range. By the numbers, the Acura TSX gets 22 miles in the city, 31 on the highway, stickers in California for about $30,000.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life.
Join ThinkerToys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why ThinkerToys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. ThinkerToys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yes, you got to keep on rocking here in the formerly free world. I'm back from vacation, glad to be back in touch with you, and frankly, I'm pissed that Democrats rolled over and let Bush ram through another bad bill compromising our civil liberties. That was one thing when he compromised the civil liberties of detainees at Guantanamo. This is by far worse, and it's just hard to fathom how so many Democrats could vote for this piece of crap. It's the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. You can talk about this or any other subject that you care about. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Got an email from Larry D. He divides his time between Rhode Island and Costa Rica, and he's listening online in Costa Rica this evening. And he checks in and notes that his two senators from Rhode Island, Sheldon Whitehouse, a freshman and a former U.S. attorney, and Jack Reed, an incumbent probably 2-3 terms now, who unfortunately is often the point person for Senate Democrats on the Iraq issues and is far too conservative on those issues for me. Fortunately, both Reed and Whitehouse voted against the NSA legalization bill. To Cynthia in Monterey. Hello, Cynthia. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. Beanie and I missed you a whole lot.
Well, I'm glad you're still there.
Seabiscuit is the horse's name.
What was it?
Seabiscuit.
Seabiscuit, thank you so much.
Anyway, it's just a shame that so many of these Democrats are bootlickers. And you know what? Instead of expanding this spy thing through telephones, why aren't they focusing all their attention on the anthrax killer?
Well, because he went after Democrats. And perhaps he was one of them.
We should be cleaning up our own house before we start fishing overseas for information.
Well, here's the point. There is a process that is intended to protect Americans, and I support it. It's the FISA court. And it is so lenient and so pro-government, pro-police, pro-surveillance that it's laughable that they've created this straw dog that had to be destroyed by passing this legislation. There was not a crisis. If there was, it was self-imposed or self-initiated by the administration.
Almost a fantasy.
And for Democrats to swallow this and fear that in an election in a year and a half, they would be brushed back over this issue, I'm sorry, I can't make a political case for it, and so I can only believe that these individuals are so craven, callow, and cowardly that they couldn't stand up and say, this stinks, I can't vote for it.
And they don't even want to go after the anthrax killer who was targeting them.
Right.
Which is amazing, because I suppose he's still out there.
Well, and again, there is this promise that they're going to fix it later. But I have never seen a rollback in our rights completely reversed in my lifetime.
Well, this year I didn't send my donation to the Democratic Party, and I'm thinking of just sending them toilet paper and so they can start using that instead of the Constitution.
Okay.
Goodbye, Peter.
All
glad
right.
to have you back.
Well, I'm delighted to be back. Thank you, Cynthia. Now to Laird in Eureka. Welcome, Laird. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. Good to have you back, like
Thank
I
you.
Said. the whole business. I've been watching C-SPAN, okay?
Yeah.
And the last I heard, Congress was not even aware of which wiretapping program the NSA was running.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, didn't Alibi Albert and the lying string trio from the AG's office just get through telling the House that we had not been talking about different programs together?
Well, then not only that, people like Arlen Specter, who Specter serves on the Judiciary Committee in the Senate, he was willing to join Feinstein in a bill to legalize the NSA program, even though he didn't know what that program was.
Well, they kind of, I guess, okayed a scheme here, all right? But it'd be someplace between the words executive and privilege, I thought I heard something about broader scope. Now, I may be crazy, but doesn't this infer that there's more than one program?
Well, there is more than one program.
Well, which one did they approve? Do they even know?
Well, I'm not sure.
I mean, you know that. I mean, yeah, I don't expect you to be able to answer that,
mm-hmm.
but that comes to my mind. I mean, when you watch these C-SPAN hearings and you listen to these people with their questions, it sounds like they're completely aghast about this. What are you doing? But now they're approving it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Welcome back, Peter.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for calling today. I appreciate that. And let's see, Billy Sunshine is on the line and ready to go. Hi, Billy.
Hey, babe.
How you doing?
Well, you've been away so long, you don't even remember what it's like to be an American. You act like the Democrats being spineless is like news.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, what are we supposed to do? Let me talk about Karl Rove, and that's how we'll talk about the Democrats.
Sure.
So Rove today says, well, it's really been wonderful to work for you, Mr. Bush, and for the country. Hey, Karl, you never worked for the country, not for an ounce, a minute, not a second. You worked to get this guy elected. You didn't even work for the Republican Party, you creep. And now let's talk about the Democrats. I'm right about that, right? He didn't work for the country.
No, you're right. He worked for the neocons at most.
Yeah, not even the whole Republican Party. It's
right,
amazing.
The Bush cult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now let's talk about the Democrats, because you know what? They're no different. They're not working for the country. They're only working again for their reelection. How can you ask me to vote for these people again? How can you vote for them again? Shouldn't we be talking about what we're going to do in denying them our vote? Are we the blacks of all the last 50 years that the Democrats can assume the vote and not necessarily deliver anything but a slap in the face?
Yeah, they've got us wedged in. It's an ugly specter and a series of Hobson's choices, if you will, Billy, because I'm disgusted with the Democrats. I can't believe that Reid and Pelosi didn't find a maneuver to at least delay this, if not, pocket it. And I haven't heard the details. I heard Tom Hartman talking a little bit earlier today about this alleged deal between Harry Reid and the Bush administration. And it was described that that it was not related to this bill in particular, but that if the it was to, I guess, Reid agreed not to continue to call votes related to Iraq during August if Bush would agree not to make any recess appointments. And first of all, I don't believe that you can deal honorably with these people. They don't keep their word. And secondly, that's a kind of diabolical deal that I can't countenance. Because,
well,
the
original Iraq vote. These votes that have nothing to do with what's good for the country, but what has to do with how they think they're going to be positioned in the next election. We can't continue to support that. It's not a Hobson's choice. We don't have a choice. We have to walk away from these people and let them know we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hear you. And it's something that we're going to be wrestling with, and I'm having real problems myself, Billy, in seeing this, a paved road to the White House for Hillary Clinton.
Oh.
Because if...
That's what the media wants, and it's what the party regulars want. But what about the human beings, us people? Oh.
Well, and to permit her ambition to trump the interests of the Democratic Party and the American people, and to recognize how vulnerable she is to Swift Boat and other kinds of attacks from the Republicans. Let me ask you about this, because I was discussing this with Katrina earlier today, and again, this is something I'm wrestling with. I like Barack Obama, but he's not firing on all cylinders. He has made a few comments that give us pause over the last few weeks and that gave Hillary an opportunity to label him naive, and that's a soundbite that's going to linger for a while. But we have kind of a choice right now of whether to attack Hillary Clinton in order to try to prevent her from winning the Democratic nomination. And it's a risky move because I take you back to 1988.
You don't want to damage her for the general.
Well, you don't want to give more ammunition to the Republican opponent to decimate her if, in fact, she does win the nomination.
Right.
And I take you back to 1988 when it was Democratic presidential candidate Al Gore who ran the first Willie Horton commercial against Mike Dukakis.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And then Lee Atwater saw that, saw how effective it was, and hammered it home in the general election. And so can we tactically maneuver well enough to prevent Hillary from winning the nomination? And therefore, should we, you know, go full guns blazing and trot out the very same negatives that the Republicans will use against her? Or do we have to sit back and again, draw in the scope of our activities in order to preserve the least objectionable option in the 2008 general?
Well, before I answer your question, I'm going to ask you a question.
All right.
I think it'd be interesting for you to talk about your experience in Europe vis-a-vis how does Europe see America?
Mm-hmm.
And an interesting way to do that would be with an author named Andrew Markovitz, who wrote a book about, how come Europe hates America these days and all that.
All right, we'll look into that.
And the answer to your question, of course, is you still think you're a Democrat. It's not about Hillary. It's about the party structure that really, really, really hasn't worked for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
and we just want to be in denial about it because, of, like you say, the Hobson's choice
right.
that we find. But isn't maybe this the moment where the Republicans have destroyed themselves? You know,
mm-hmm.
the example is perfect. Like you said, in Pennsylvania, they had a nice liberal boy they could have picked, and look what they went with.
Right. Yeah, that Pinocchio
was going to lose. They wanted that crazy Christian out of there.
Yeah, Chuck Pinocchio was the progressive running in Pennsylvania, and he was great.
But the party made a real craven decision, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, the one thing I'll just push back on, Billy, I do, you know, I'm registered as an independent, an inclined to state voter in California. I do certainly vote for Democrats far more than Republicans, and so I am in some ways a default Democrat, and I do fall into that frame of thinking.
As is everyone listening to you right at this moment.
And the problem is that, you know, we have simply two choices, and they're both ugly. One is clearly worse than the other. But how far do we go in swallowing the misdeeds of the Democrats by looking at the worst case of the Republicans?
And if we always worry about the two bad choices and we don't find a way to somehow have a good choice someday, well, then they've got us under their control.
Yeah, they sure do. Hey, Billy, I hope you get over that cold.
Hey, thanks. You could tell, huh?
Yep, good to hear from you.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Larry in Aptos, you're next here, and you're on the air on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, I am just thoroughly disgusted with Pelosi and Reid right now after this debacle 2 weekends ago. And, you know, I want to say this, too. I think there's so many people, you know, that are expressing this disgust with the Democrats. I would hope that Kucinich and Paul would just, like, say, that's it. We're breaking out of the Republican Party in regards to Paul with the Democrats in regards to Kucinich and
mm-hmm.
say, we're going to run together, independent, progressive party, call it whatever you want. But I really think there's got to be a third party now. There's enough pissed off real Republicans out there, the Pete McCloskey kind of Republican, the Lincoln Chafee kind of Republican, and there's a bunch of us Democrats who are just saying, why are Pelosi and Reid not going for the juggler? Why are they not willing to take Bush down?
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're hearing it. People are calling up Air America, of course, and, you know, all the other talk show hosts on the progressive side saying we're emailing Pelosi, we're calling their offices, this and that. But it seems like, you know, whether they're getting a couple of hundred or a couple of thousand emails and calls a day, they don't want to do anything about Bush. Mm-hmm. They just want to keep giving him a pass.
I mean, Pelosi offered a soundbite that this is a severe wound in to the U.S. Constitution. I agree with that. But if that's her belief, she certainly had a lot of maneuvers that she could have used to block that bill from ever reaching the floor.
Exactly.
And I wasn't here. I don't know all the details. All I can tell you is the result stinks and stings. And it's very hard to accept, and we must work to make them honor the promise to fix it, even in the same breath as I don't believe that'll ever happen. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
All right. We go to a break and return. There's room for your call at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's great to be back from vacation. Glad to have you listening. Drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a bottle of galoosh, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Fly me to the moon.
This Saturday, 11 a.m., KRXA 540, a UFO special. Monterey Bay UFO sightings hosted by Bob Oliver and special guest speakers of the 9th Annual Bay Area UFO Expo. Expo celebrities include George Norrie, Coast to Coast AM, Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr., whose father examined UFO debris from the Roswell crash, actor-activist Gary Busey, researchers Jordan Maxwell, Hilly Rose, Sean David Morton. Subjects include implants, time travel, ET encounters, Tesla technologies, Earth mysteries, and more. Pacific Grove police sighted a UFO at Asilomar. Could one out of 10 of us have witnessed a UFO? Tell us what you remember. Saturday, 11 a.m. to noon, UFO sightings over the Monterey Bay on Talk Radio, KRXA 540.
I love you.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at traffic, the last traffic report for our Monday. We cruise on over to fantastic Felton. Graham Hill Road at Mount Hermon. We have a fender bender on the right shoulder. And I can mention that, CHP is on scene. Gonzalez, north on 101 after Fifth Street. We have a ladder still in the middle lane there. Cars are swerving around that middle lane, so watch out for that metal ladder. Pajaro Salinas Road at San Juan Road. We have a solo vehicle, and this car went off the roadway and then apparently landed into a field. Possible injuries being reported there. Going to mention the fact the fire department crews are on scene along with CHP as well. No problems on northbound or highway or northbound or southbound 17 in the Santa Cruz Mountains. And the support is brought to you by Endangered Species Chocolate, Supreme Dark Chocolate.
Show.
Wants to be the president of America like my daddy. He's a mean son of a bitch. He's the Big Mac fatty. So he got me an election that he took from Al Gore. Cause the pussy don't know a damn thing about war. I am the king of the world. My kingdom's under construction. And I'm building the weapons of mass destruction. The United States has divided nations. Got billions of dollars of bombs and we're not gonna waste my tall pants in the Congress. And I show them my ass. If they kiss, it's a ticket to the top of the class. I go to war when I want to win. I make the first try. Cause I'm George Bush Jr. I can do what I like. I say I'm George Bush Jr. I can do what I like.
Our music of the moment from an artist named Andrew Horabin, and that's called Georgie Boy.
There was a man called Satan, but they called him a saint. He had everything I want, and it drove me insane. This diplomacy is a thing of the past. To just put two bunker buster caps in his ass. I get hard on my man on the button, and now I'm delivering.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, back from vacation. Delighted to be here. Glad you're listening. Feel free to check in either on the toll-free line at 888-5-PETER-B or by email 24/7, peter@peterbcollins.com. Jake from Arcata. Welcome, Jake.
Hey, Peter B. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to hear from you.
So what do you think about Karl Rove leaving? It's pretty interesting to watch these rats, you know, jump off the sinking ship of state.
Well, it's interesting because, of course, what they've told us cannot be believed, that it was just time, that he's been talking about it for a year. I would have to believe that for him to be eased out at this time means that they have calculated that he's become a liability. And that could be the executive privilege battle over the U.S. attorney's issues. It could be the email accounts that he used and the extent to which that was a violation of the Hatch Act. It's hard to say what they are trying to get out of the way of. And as I have offered on a couple of occasions today, I'm still puzzled because I saw Gonzalez as the guy who was being kept on in order to prevent investigators from getting directly to Rove or doing so too quickly. And so to pull Rove out, I think, leaves Gonzalez kind of twisting there because I'm not sure that Bush can afford to hold on to him for another 18 months.
Well, wasn't it Nixon, after all, who ended up getting rid of just about everybody in his inner circle?
Mm-hmm.
This may be what happens before this presidency is over. You know, maybe Cheney will be gone, too. At least we can hope for something.
Yeah, that is hopeful, not too realistic, in my view.
Yeah, wishful thinking, but hey.
Yeah.
So this deal with Karl Rove leaving, it was funny to watch the press conference he gave there with Bush. And Karl Rove was pretty much whimpering up there, crying. I don't think he wanted to leave. I think he was forced out. And it's all about the politics, of course. I mean, keeping Rove around, it's not going to help the Republican Party's chances in next year's election.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, the genius, Bush's brain, failed in 2006. And it's unfortunate that the Democrats who, took over power of Congress haven't used that power in an effective way to hold Bush and Cheney accountable.
Well, I sure agree. And, again, it's kind of like waking up from a bad dream to I saw little blurbs about this in the International Herald Tribune, but didn't really get the full story until this weekend. And I'm just floored that given the way the Democrats had challenged the administration over the critical issues of the war, not successfully, but still, keeping up a fight, and the most recent session, the all-nighter that Reid scheduled at the end of July. You know, all of that was giving me hope that the Democrats had some fight in them. And for them to cave so quickly and, over this kind of bogus claim that, intelligence captures had dropped by 75%, as if that's meaningful. They simply allowed themselves to be pushed into this, and we can't forget the dirty list of individuals, 41 members of the House and some, 18 or 20 members of the Senate, who call themselves Democrats and voted for this.
Yeah, and another part of this is the money. Just follow the money on this. The Blue Dogs, a lot of their money comes from telecom companies like AT&T, for instance. From what I hear, this bill is basically a get-out-of-jail-free card for the telecoms on the illegal domestic spying.
No, what I understand, and again, I'm still catching up on some of the details, but the articles I've read indicate that the Democrats were successful in getting out the amnesty for phone companies. But they weren't successful in getting out the amnesty for Bush, Cheney, Gonzalez, and the people who actually implemented the program.
Well, I'm sure there'll be another bill in a couple of weeks that'll give the phone companies amnesty. I'm sure we'll hear about that one, too.
Well, they'll tag it onto the farm bill or something, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be a piece of legislation that'll slip in late at night. You know, it's really unfortunate to watch, you know, like you say, what the Democrats are doing here. It's almost a replay of the issue of troop withdrawal. You know, it's like the so-called leadership of the party. They think their job is scoring political points, so they put up a good fight for the cameras. You know, they say the right words. They give us the rhetoric that we want to hear. But when it comes time to vote and when it comes time to actually, you know, put their jobs on the line, they don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do the safe thing that will keep them, you know, in favor with the Washington media. And the Washington media is quite conservative.
And again, you know, reconstructing this after the fact, Jake, what puzzles me is that Reid and Pelosi both voted against their respective bills in their respective houses. Why, then, could they countenance letting the vote occur at all?
That's right.
I don't get that. I mean, they're smart enough to know that it was a bad bill, and they each individually voted against it. So how could, as leaders, they turn a blind eye and let their members, even wayward ones, you know, like conservatives like Casey, you know, vote for this? And again, they wouldn't have been able to vote for it if the leaders had kept it off the floor.
Yeah, it's almost like the tail on the Democratic blue dog is the one doing the talking here. Why is it? I love the fact that you gave out the names of these congressmen. And if you listen to where these guys are from, most of these states,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, the Dixie states.
Yeah. Well, the guy you're going to run against didn't vote for it, so it's
well,
rare. It's rare that we can praise Mike Thompson, but today we will. Thank you, Jake.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, we'll talk to you again. I'm Peter B. Talk to you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's getting harder to be hopeful at the Crandall Canyon mine in Utah. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick was at the latest briefing today.
I'm very disappointed to be telling you on the eighth day that we have not found six alive miners.
But Mineco owner Bob Murray says there are plenty of reasons for hope. A camera was lowered down the second drill hole for a better look at the conditions there. The Mine Safety and Health Administration's Richard Stickler says it was rigged with a homemade lighting system.
We indeed did get more detailed pictures.
But still no miners. It did show an intact roof in the area, which means they might have survived the collapse.
A third hole is being drilled as rescue workers underground continue the slow dig toward the trapped man. It was an emotional moment at the White House this morning.
Karl Rove is moving on down the road.
President Bush is losing his chief political strategist.
I've been talking to Karl for a while about his desire to spend more time with Darby and Andrew. This is a family that's made enormous sacrifices, not only for our beloved state of Texas, but for a country we both love.
Rove leaves the administration at the end of the month, saying he wants to teach, write a book, and make some money. Democrats in Congress continue to demand his testimony about the firings of federal prosecutors, but Rove says he'll still be covered by executive privilege after he leaves the White House. Rove does not plan to have any formal role in the 2008 presidential campaign. A CBS News poll provides a snapshot of how the Republican race shapes up right now.
Maintaining firm hold on first place in our poll, Rudy Giuliani, 38% of Republican voters favor the former New York City mayor, 20 points ahead of Fred Thompson, 18% for the former senator, who's not officially in the race, then 13% for Mitt Romney, then 12% for John McCain, our margin of error up to 3 points.
CBS News correspondent Dan Revive. Michael Vick is all alone now. Reporter Pete Combs tells us the last of his co-defendants have cut plea deals.
Pernell Peace and Quanis Phillips are expected to join Tony Taylor in not only pleading guilty to charges related to dogfighting, but in turning state's evidence against Atlanta quarterback Michael Vick. Peace and Phillips have scheduled plea hearings for later this week, where they're expected to admit they were involved in dogfighting and in the interstate transportation of dogs involved in that brutal sport. So far, there's no word from Vick's camp on whether the beleaguered football star himself